welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
866-909-AM. Good morning, Trish Strasser.
Good morning, Adam Carolla.
Good morning, Danny Butta. What?
Oh! What's going on, Adam?
I don't know. Danny was late yesterday.
I've been late twice in 16 years of radio.
Something's up. Let me
still,
just say,
still slinking here quietly,
something
unobtrusively.
Barely noticed.
He comes in here dressed like he just walked off the set of an '80s video that was filmed
off the set of Hogan's Hero
that was filmed in the desert.
Yeah,
that's all I can say.
Complete with the dry ice, but in his case, it's smoke.
Yeah. All right. So let's see. Good morning, Teresa Strasser.
Yes, it's so good to be back.
Oh, it's so great to have you back. Let me give you. Let's see. I'll give you my TMZ feelings.
Okay. Good.
And I'll not sugarcoat anything. I'll tell you straight. The first episode on Monday, yeah. I wasn't fond of, but maybe I was bumped a little bit. Because of not being familiar with it formatically.
Right.
Although I normally hate all that car screeching and all that kind of stuff. But sometimes it's like a song you hear the very first time. You go, and then you hear it a few more times. You go, starting to like this song.
Yeah.
And, of course, your role was limited in the very, very first one on Monday. And then I saw the second one, and I was liked it that much better. And then I saw last night's show, and I thought, all right, I'll watch this. I'm in.
You're in.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I love those tabloid programs, and I hate the ass kiss-a-thons that go on in most of them. And look, I realize it's not raising the collective IQ of the nation. I just thought, evening news is General Petraeus has gone to Capitol Hill and is giving 13 hours of testimony. And I just thought, I know Iraq is a cluster F.
Right.
I want to see Leonardo DiCaprio get chased by a guy in a moped. And I watched it and I enjoyed it.
Oh, that's
so tell
good.
Me, I mean, like, here's what it is. Here's my feeling. I watch plenty of shows that I don't consider good shows. I eat plenty of food that I don't consider as good food.
Yeah.
I love a Taco Bell bean burrito. Lots of cheese and onions. I don't consider it good food.
Right.
I just like it.
It tastes
There's
good.
A place for it on the Ace Man's menu.
Yeah.
I feel that way about TMZ. And I also know from starting up many shows, people love to judge right out of the gate. Really, the idea with almost any TV show is watch the first episode of the second month of the show.
Yeah.
And then start judging.
Yeah, it's evolved a lot. They did months of practice shows.
There's no such thing. I mean, you can practice all you want. It's just that. It's just like they talk about, Why all the injuries in the NFL?
Yeah.
Well, a lot of the guys practice, but no matter how intense the practice is, it's never full speed.
Yeah, game conditions are always going to be
different. Now guys are dropping like flies. So you can never, doesn't matter how many test shows, how many practice runs, how many dry runs you do, how many dress rehearsals you do, there's no substitute for really doing the show. And just from Monday to Wednesday, it seems like it's evolved quite a bit.
Yeah, I felt like it's hard because I'm so close to it. When I got home Monday, I watched the show to show it to Daniel. And, I mean, Dominic, shoot!
It's great journalism.
Whatever.
Name for boyfriend. Let's just call it your vibrator.
Yeah. Anyway, so I wanted him to
heard
see
a vibrator.
It.
Hold up the vibrator, special purple crushed velvet pillow.
Right.
And you two sat in front of the Zenith and watched Mommy.
And I thought, this is coming at me too fast. There's too much. And just when I start understanding a story, it's over and I don't know who. It was coming at me fast, just in the comfort of my own home.
Mm-hmm.
But then I thought Tuesday was much better and Wednesday it was, the 1 or 2 minutes that I, help write, produce, whatever, I thought are decent.
Yes. You should feel,
Looked like Danny was on the line and it dropped off.
I just put my hand on the thing to hit the button.
Having bike trouble.
Bike meaning motorcycle trouble. All right. Well, I was about to punch him up, but I couldn't get to him. All right. So you're feeling good about TMZ.
Well,
the show's
heading
in the right direction.
Yeah.
The cream will rise to the top. But what's it mean for you schedule-wise? What do you have to do today?
Well, it's been pretty challenging. I don't know how you and Danny do it. Today, after the show, I run over there.
Well, I don't do it, and Danny drinks 28 Monster 16-ounce
energy
drinks.
Well, you shot your movie, The Hammer, whilst you were doing this job.
Yes, I did.
That was must have been crazy.
That was a little bit hectic, yes.
And, you know, occasionally you go shoot things.
Mm-hmm.
The Contender and such.
Mm-hmm.
And Danny just finished his show. I think, is he done with that VH1 thing?
Yes.
It's difficult, but, you know, I know you've done it in the past. I know you've done a radio show and a TV show, and I let that inspire me, but it's tough. I mean, you can hear it in my voice.
Yeah. I'll tell you, sleep is one of the things that your body requires. Otherwise, it immediately starts punishing you.
Yeah.
And it's not like, well, I didn't get a lot of sleep in 07, and I really felt it in 09.
Right.
It's like I didn't get a lot of sleep on Tuesday, and Wednesday sucked.
Yes. Systems start breaking down in my body.
It's amazing that I can put together a couple of four-hour nights, but if I go for a third, mm-mm.
Yeah.
Hey, Matt?
Yes, Adam. Good morning.
You're calling from San Diego?
I am. Faithful listener, actually looking for a job. Maybe I could fill in and be the third person.
We'll, yeah. That's right. Well, Danny's having bike problems, but you're calling from San Diego. Are you listening on your computer?
I am.
Good time. So you want to say something to Teresa?
I do. Teresa, welcome back. We
Thank
missed you. And more importantly, happy birthday to Brian.
Who?
Is Teresa today? 29.
We're both 29. Let me tell you, it's a good age.
Bald Brian had his birthday party last Sunday. He got angry at me because...
Didn't get angry at you.
Listen, Brian is a very angry nerd. Thank you, Matt.
Wait, did he have an attack of nerd rage?
He did, because he said, hey, you want to come out at my birthday party? I said, fine, when is it? He said, it'll be Sunday.
This is a gross distortion of the truth.
Sunday? I said, what? When? This Sunday? I said, this Sunday's the opening of the NFL season. I said, what time's it at? I said, noon. I said, that's right in between the two games. You miss the second half of the first game, and then you miss the entire second game.
Right.
I said, so what? I said, I thought you like football. I said, I like college football. I said, you get your single cupcake with your candle in it that you're going to put out with the tear from your right eye. Set up your tee. And just hit the ball back and forth to yourself. Run out and field it, and run back, put on the tee again, and hit it again. Because no heterosexual, sane American male is going to be at that party on Sunday, the day the NFL season opens.
I sat on the pitcher's mound with my ball.
That's right.
Aww. Sang a happy birthday.
To me.
To me.
His hat was askew.
Birthday. Actually, it was turned back into eye black under my eyes.
And then we pulled out to a wide shot and the sprinklers came on.
Oh, yeah.
And you heard the cupcake candle.
Then you cut back and he's halfway through a hot dog he's eating by himself.
Yes. So that was his party. And then he got angry at me because I criticized his cake. He brought in the white sheet cake, which... sounds like what it is. Pretend a guy from an Eastern Bloc company is saying, I want no more sheet cake. Just pretend that's how he's pronouncing it. That's what it is. White frosting on a white cake. It's a great palate.
Yeah.
But so is canvas stretch with gesso.
Well, listen.
You understand?
Yes.
It's great. People love a birthday cake because it's a great platform for candles and writing and goalposts and football. But if you don't like the way candles and goalposts and football and fake helmets and, hey, little Marky, happy night. If you don't like the way all that tastes and you just actually like the stuff, then it's horrible.
I'm so sorry.
A thousand times better.
But listen, Adam.
He came in and he offered it to the
and
group.
And you got mad.
Collectively. And I got angry.
I'm sure,
it was nothing short of an attack.
You missed his birthday and you insulted his cake, but I'm sure you got, because you love Bald Brian, I'm sure you got him a lovely birthday gift.
Hell no.
Nothing.
No, because I'll tell you why.
No.
You throw yourself a birthday party.
And you bring your own cake.
Well, first off,
it was a celebration of the love of softball for all my
friends. I love softball as well during softball season. Now, here's the way I feel about it. I buy gifts for people depending on either
what. In the form of comedy every day?
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys can open a little guffaw present every day.
Play yourself some Ask Kiss Rodeo.
Here's what I do. Seriously, and you guys can tell me if you do this too. I buy gifts for people depending on what they'll think about it if I do or don't get them the gift.
Right.
And if I don't like them. Like, I didn't much care for Rachel Perry when she was here, so I had to get her a nice gift for her birthday
I
had to overcompensate because I didn't want her to think that I didn't much care for her.
That makes sense.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Brian, I love.
Right.
Thus, he gets nothing.
Right. Okay.
I've expressed that many times, and I'm also working to get him a nice raise as well. So that will be that. Yes, you could. Yeah, you could have got yourself a gift certificate to Blockbuster for $65.
I got a coupon.
Or you could get yourself some money. And then secondly, if you throw a party and the person is unable to attend your party because of your retarded scheduling, then you shouldn't get the gift.
Right.
You shouldn't get the gift of retarded scheduling and the gift that I buy you.
What about the gift of shame?
That's what I gave him.
I am overflowing.
I shamed him in front of the entire group when he put that.
And not just once.
That burnt offering of a cake out in front of the group. And everyone circled it like hyenas. And no one touched it for about 15 minutes. And eventually people just broke down. Because
it was a war of attrition with the cake.
Their love of lard and empty calories. Eventually everyone ate it, but no one felt good about themselves.
That's all what right. I was hoping for.
I'm just saying, people, the white look, if you're going to go cheap cake, go the yellow cake with the chocolate frosting.
Devil's food cake.
Do not go with the white on white. Nobody likes that.
White on white crime.
And as I've said, and do not get me started, pie. Pie kicks the ass of cake.
But you can't put a softball diamond and a happy birthday.
You did that.
I know.
No. It was from Costco.
Now, the problem is, as I've said.
Don't laugh at that.
I've said many times, cake makes a better substrate to apply your different candles and writings and plastic figurines onto. Thus, people use it. But would you use that argument in any other food? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's almost counterintuitive. Like, look, get the guy a card, get the noisemakers, get the effing hats, and then let's eat some decent pie.
Right.
I don't want to eat stuff based on how good it is to decorate. Do you choose any of your meals that way where it's like, well, this filet mignon is awesome, but it can't hold a plastic football player.
Right.
Now, I go ahead and get some Salisbury steak. That'll hold a couple of figurines. And it's like, so I don't give a rat's ass. Give me the steak.
Your food's not a canvas.
That's right.
I hear you.
All right. I have pies at my party, and I'll explain the difference one more time just to shut up all you a-holes. And let me say something quickly, because I'm angry about this. I don't like when you guys use your extremes. You know what I mean? Where I go. No, I'm not going to calm down.
Brian,
I'm not
going to
calm
down.
Here's what I want to say. And I'm not going to commercial until Danny walks in.
Oh, no.
So however long it takes him to get here. Here's what I want to say. You guys make your argument when I say pie versus cake, where I go, I think pie is better than cake. And they go, are you telling me that some cheap Vandy Camp, something off out of the Vandy Camp's thrift shop on the day old shelf, $3 pie is better than a German chocolate cake bought at the Jewish bakery down on Fairfax that was $79? And I go, no. Just like you, when you make that same retarded argument where I say, I think heterosexual couples make better parents than gay and lesbian couples. And you go, okay, so you'd rather have a couple of racist, shotgun-toting, hillbilly, a wife abusing, rope holding up the pants, the sexual deviant, meth cooking, welfare flunky, uneducated hillbillies raising your kid than Ellen and her latest gal pal. Is that what you're saying? No! I'm saying all things being equal, son of Tard. All things being equal, your average $8 pie versus your average $8 cake. That's what I'm saying. Your store-bought pie versus your store-bought cake. That's what I'm saying. Now, I've conducted the experiment many times. I have the pies at my party. Here's how it works. You put the pies out,
right,
and then you shoo people away because we're not ready to serve yet. Yeah. We're not ready to serve yet. Not ready to serve yet. And you don't serve the pie. You put it out. People come get it themselves. Much like Ozzy and his flapsteak.
Yeah.
You don't wait till it comes to you. You get in line around Ozzy's barbecue because it's a superior product. Cake works this way. Some poor bitch has to hand it out. Have some cake. Somebody cuts it up. Yeah. Nobody gathers around. Nobody bunches around. Some bitch just cuts it with a huge knife. And everyone's sitting where they're sitting. They're drinking, they're smoking, they're talking, they're doing. And then somebody has to distribute the cake. Take some cake. Then a little argument. Have some cake. I'm good. Have some cake. You know, I had 3 hot dogs. I'll set it down on the arm of the sofa. Then at the end of the night when they're cleaning up, there's a cigarette put out of it and one finger of frosting taken out of it. You do not see remnants of pie. Anyone see pie remnants? Anyone ever go to a party where, there's half-eaten slice of pie and a three-quarter eaten? No, no. Cake all over the place. Pie, and pie you don't distribute. You don't hand out. People get in line and people get it themselves. Superior product, people. Why argue with me?
When you got married, did you have wedding pie?
Hell yes.
I like that.
Hell yes.
Hey, Adam.
Hmm.
You want to have a catch?
Okay.
But you know what I'm excited about? What's coming up in the next segment of our show?
What is that?
I don't know. I was just trying to go to commercial.
Oh, okay. Well, I promised myself I wouldn't go to break until I saw Danny.
That was my concern.
Running for the door.
Well, the NFL picks recap's kind of like not having Danny here.
I'm really excited about that.
Yes, Teresa won the NFL last season. We'll talk to you about that. All right. I think we'll recap that. We were normally, obviously, we'd do it on a Monday, but we were sort of sitting on it until T got back, and that means Thursday. So we'll take a quick break. Hopefully Danny will be here by the time we get back, and we'll do a recap on the NFL picks next.
It's the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser. Coming up on this morning's show, let's check in with our program director, Jack Silver.
Wake and bake, peeps! Today, from the new show on HGTV, Over Your Head, host Eric Stromer. Comedian and producer of The Simpsons, Dana Gould. Author and weatherman, Al Roker. Another round of Will Angie Heat It. And, of course, the return of Teresa Strasser from her TMZ hosting gig. Hey, Jack Manti voted for a show. Apparently TMZ stands for Teresa's Minutes 08.
Thank you, Jack. Call 866-901-ADAM. This is the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, as my grandpa used to say, you just wait till the Jew cream rises to the top.
Yes.
All right, Danny's on the phone. I think he got into a motorcycle accident, but hold on. Radora?
Yes?
You'd like to heap praise on me quickly?
Yes, Adam, I just wanted to tell you how much I love you and that this show, you are the golden child of either complaints, compliments, and or insults. I just love this show.
Well, thank you, Radora.
You as the golden child and Teresa and Danny coming in as your support crew. I just love the show, and I laugh hysterically every day.
It's ass kissing.
You lost me, Teresa and Danny, but thanks for the initial compliment.
It was a good start.
All right, baby girl, you're in Anaheim?
I am in Anaheim. I'm driving over into El Segundo for work. I wanted to say welcome back, Teresa.
Thank you.
How much I love this show.
Thank you. What do you do, Radora?
I'm an engineer.
All right. Good times. What do you engineer?
You're that nerd.
I am a nerd, actually, and I'm quite proud of it. I'm a propulsion engineer at Boeing.
Ooh.
Wow. That's hot. Now, what? Oh, damn it. Danny's on. Hold on a second.
Okay.
I'm going to talk to her a little more. Hey, Danny.
Okay.
What's going on?
I'm explaining. I understand that we don't interrupt commercials for the fact that I just got in a bike wreck. But to wait for you to be heaped with praise.
Wait, first of all, are you okay?
Yeah, I'm okay. I'm not even sure what's wrong with the bike. There's 3 big gouges out of the street where the bike laid down, but I don't see the where they came from yet on the bike.
Well, what was the story? What happened?
Well, luckily, one of the witnesses was kind enough to say, and by the way, if I may say, to you people that passed by the corner of Hauser and... What street are we on? Hauser and...
World Hauser.
Okay. Hauser, right
side. And Fuel.
Burnside. Well, no, it's important because, I mean, these people... Not one person asked if I was okay.
Really? They just drove past you?
Was okay, as they drove past us, they rolled down the window. Now, people who was in their way stopped. But this young gentleman, what is your name, sir?
Nice to talk to you.
Hi, Charlie. How are you, man? Good. Am I boring you, Brian?
Hauser. You're on Hauser.
It was a Hauser. It was a Huell Hauser joke. Quiet down. This is a serious situation here, Brian. Danny, first off, you're okay, correct?
Yes, I am. Mostly, I'm just... I still have just butterflies in my stomach.
And now what happened?
You want me and my version? They want the gentleman was kind enough to stick around and ask if I was okay and then say, yeah, I'll talk to your boss.
All right, well, let's talk to Charlie then.
Charlie, this could be my boss. How you doing, Brad?
Hey, wrong boss, but that's all right. So, Charlie, what are you doing? You're on your way to work?
I'm on my way going back home to take my kids to school.
Mm-hmm.
And when the people ran out in front of him, because it was time for us to slow down and stop for him to turn and make the left turn.
Mm-hmm.
But when the guy swerved, you know, to try to run the light, that made Danny fall right there in the street. And when I'm like, hey man, you're right, because the guy was in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, hey man, are you all right? And mm-hmm. when I looked, I said, Danny, and he's like, yeah. I said, man, are you doing okay? He's like, man, I'm all right. I'm just a little shaken up. But you can see all the gouges in the street from his bike because the bike was, him and the bike was on the ground.
So did it look like he hit the ground hard? Should he go to the hospital? You know, he's a proud man. He may not get himself checked out when he should.
That's what I kept telling him. He need to go and get himself checked out because he is breathing hard.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he was doing that when he was asleep.
He's hard, man, so he'd need to get checked out if I was him.
All right, Charlie. Well, I'll see if we can talk him into that. Put him back on the phone, and thanks for your eyewitness testimony. And I'll be seeing you on the Shabbat telethon this weekend.
Okay.
All right.
Happy New Year.
He has, on his left arm.
Mm-hmm.
He got blood coming out his arm.
I didn't even notice that one.
Oh, no.
I don't mean to laugh.
I need to get this dude checked out.
All right. Thank you, Charlie.
You know what? You said he was too proud. Yeah, y'all whoop him when he get there. Make him go.
Oh, I see. Yes. We'll beat him up so that he has to go to the hospital.
Yeah.
Thank you, Charlie.
You're welcome.
Good times.
Sweet man. He sounds
nice.
Like
he does sound nice. Right. Danny, he said he found blood. He said
he didn't find, but it's nothing, man. I wanted somebody. But mostly I was mad that nobody really stopped. Said, thank you again, man. I really appreciate that, by the way.
But Danny, might you be in some kind of shock or something? You don't know if you have injuries?
Well, the point is I just asked him to stop. This happened minutes ago. I called in right away because I, you know, after my big speech yesterday, and I can imagine what you're saying with me not there. I said, please, you saw the whole thing. I don't care about the cops. I don't care about the bike. Will you just say what you saw?
Yeah, you need a testimony. Danny was 40 seconds late yesterday.
And what was his big speech? I missed it.
No, not my big speech. Even I just don't appreciate being late. I was late yesterday. Turns out, well, it's not. Who cares?
Yeah.
I kind of care about humanity.
Does the bike run?
I don't see, so far, I don't see a mark on it. There's three, like the guy says, there's my skid mark and then two major gouges in the street. And I can't see where they came from yet.
Mm-hmm.
So the paint job on the tank looks fine.
Well, why don't you, how far are you away from your house or from your apartment?
30 seconds.
Hmm. Oh.
I pulled down my street, hit the gas to come down, and there's another bigger car, apartment complex, by the way. Mm-hmm. The weather's hot. Yeah, I am fine, thanks. Your wife's calling on her hail.
Can this fellow Charlie give him a ride in?
Hold on, what?
Can your friend Charlie give you a ride?
It's a new guy. Hi, what's your name?
Joel.
Hi, Joel. How are you?
Good.
Joel's wife was listening in her house or in the car?
In the apartment.
I guess. And listen, at home on the few at home. Look at me pin the station while bleeding. Back,
wow.
No back-tasking, bitch.
listening in her apartment. God love
yeah,
you.
So no, I'm absolutely. Yeah, just like, shit. It was scary, that's all.
All right, Danny.
You see, wait a second. You see the big gouges in the street right there?
Yeah.
I can't find a mark on my bike. I don't know. But I just want to... Back to like fighting, like, oh, I see.
Danny, be honest. Do you think you should go to the hospital?
No, I'm not even hurt at all. I didn't. My jeans were, I was going to go, oh, my favorite jeans. That was the first thing I was thinking. Jeans were really expensive.
Right.
Have some dirt on them. They're not even a hole in them. No.
All right.
Blood
so
on my arm is an inch long tops. And you know what I was worried about the most was I was wearing my computer on my shoulder like I do.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought if I crush my computer, I've got nothing left in my world.
Well, that's Danny. Heart on the sleeve, computer on the shoulder,
yeah.
Ass in the saddle of a Harley. Wow, that'd be a good Jovi song, right?
I was
there.
Just thinking that.
Heart on the sleeve, computer on the shoulder. Yes.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No.
But I am now fully aware that I am not hurt in any way, shape, or form, right?
Yes.
Right.
Trying to drink my energy drink? And I'm shaking like a leaf. And I know, you can tell I'm not like, it's not like some hidden broken bone that as soon as I calm down, I'm going to notice. I'm not hurt.
But
I can't stop being scared.
We got a little bleeped out there because the shaking sounded like something else, and I think we got a little Rhino got a little happy on the trigger button there.
That's okay.
Tough job.
Try to drink my energy drink, and my hand is shaking so bad. Mm-hmm. But there's nothing wrong with me.
Well, the best thing to calm you down after an accident is a Monster
cigarette and a Monster energy drink.
Yeah.
Hey,
a cigarette does sound good.
Hey, Danny.
Yeah.
So what do you think? Ride the bike back or come here on the bike or get in the car?
I'll be there in 2 seconds. I just wanted to witness because he said it was a blue Jetta, the guy, the witness you just talked to.
Mm-hmm.
It was a blue something, but I don't think it was a Jetta. I don't want people looking at a blue Jetta.
My assistant drives a blue Jetta.
Huh.
Hold on. Jay, I told you use a primered, unmarked van. You idiot. Okay, Danny, I gotta go. I gotta yell at somebody.
I'll be there in about 30 seconds.
All right, we'll see you.
Be safe.
Shake of a lamb's tail. Yeah, when you dump a bike, you get freaked out. I've told the story before. I've had many street bikes in my life. When you get into an accident, you are thoroughly freaked. I sold one of my Ninja 600, sold it to a kid. He got on the bike. He drove the bike down the street. I stood in my driveway and watched him right away, and then he dumped it in the first intersection he got to.
Oof.
He pushed the bike back. He was covered with road rash, and he was shaking like a leaf, and he said, I don't want to get back on this bike. And I said, well, then you need to sell your motorcycle. And he said, I'm giving it back to you. And I said, I just sold it to you,
yeah.
And you busted the peg off the shifter side and scratched up the tank. And he said, I don't want the bike, which has probably saved his life because obviously he couldn't ride very well considering he only made it 100 feet from my house before he got into his first accident. I said, I will ride your bike to the shop with the peg busted off the shifter side, which just meant my foot was dangling in the air while I was shifting the bike. I rode it, got it fixed. Somebody called the next day, wanted to know if it was still for sale. I said, yes, I sold it. He lost $100 and probably saved his life. But when you dump a bike, you're perpetually freaked out.
Yeah, it would seem terrifying.
Hey, Redora?
Yes.
Sorry.
That's okay.
Engineer for Boeing?
Yes.
Propulsion engineer?
Yes.
So you work on jet engines?
I work on space rocket engine.
Oh, really?
Mm.
Yes.
Bitchin'.
Yes, it is actually quite cool.
What's next? What's going on? Solid fuel, liquid fuel, pulse engine, ramjets? What's going on?
Even better, electric propulsion.
Mm.
Yes.
And that's the future of rocketry, huh?
For right now.
All right.
Well, you must be one of the only women doing what you do in your over there at Boeing.
I do, and actually it's one of the better jobs for me because working with men is actually quite easy and it's fun. And I find when I was working at another job with a bunch of women, it was just a lot harder. It was.
All right, hold on. Thank you, Redori. Your genius has reminded me of my own.
Oh, wait. Really?
Yes. Right. Everyone goes, oh, working in a man's world.
Yeah.
I'm the only woman with it. It's an all boys club. It's a real locker room. Well, better than a hen house. Sorry.
I like the locker room. I'm comfortable here.
Of course, men are better than women. That's why we get paid
that.
$1 to your 70 cents.
76.
I worked at Hoffman Travel Agency, I was the only male, literally the only male that worked in amongst 25, 26 yeah. women, all varying from bitch to starts with a C. All right. different ages, all unhappy at home, and all taking it out on me.
Right.
I'll tell you why. Here's the problem. When you're the only man and you work with a bunch of women, you represent daddy. Mm-hmm. You represent the brother that beat up on them. You represent the boyfriend that dumped them and the husband that left them for the trophy wife. When you work with men, all they want to do is F you if you're hot. That's yeah. about it. Yeah. You don't represent anything to them.
Right.
I don't work with a woman that represents mom. I'm sure I have represented daddy to many of my female assistants.
How would I know that?
Oh, you guys are lucky to represent my mom.
Well, can I say
that? How should I know?
My mom doesn't want to be represented by herself.
You know what, though, is nice in a male environment like this, having Angie be our producer. To have some female energy is helpful. You have to
drink. Drunk. I'm drunk.
And she provides the booze.
Angie is one of my favorite people on the planet because she is... She quietly goes about her job, low impact,
right.
low stress.
But she has a female energy, and I find if it's all male with no women, that
yes.
it can be too much.
Oh, I just sat at this horrible pot of perdition known as Hoffman Travel and just looked at this steely-eyed, bitchy glances of every woman in that place who was in some stage of menopause and taking it out on me. And it would be, Merv Griffin doesn't have his tickets. Now I dropped them on you. And it'd be like 2 hours of them explaining to me that I took Merv Griffin's assistant is on the phone. I put the tickets on your desk. It'd be 2 hours of getting bitched out by some old C. And then at the end, she'd go, oh, here they are. They're underneath the blotter on my desk. And she'd act like she found them, and then she wouldn't apologize for me for bitching me out for the
right.
last 2 hours. I just stare at the clock. I just sit there licking little envelopes and
right.
sending little things out. I eventually got fired because I got arrested when I got when I got arrested on my motorcycle, and that's another motorcycle story. Thank God I was fired from that hellhole.
Right.
But yes, working around nothing but women.
That can be tough.
It can be tough. I'd rather work around all men than all women. And even if I was a woman, I'd rather work around all men than all women. And I think most women would probably tell you that. What you want is a nice split.
Yes, you need some femergy.
You want some yin and some wang.
yes.
The yin and the wang.
Right.
That's what you want. Split down the middle. You need the ladies to keep the guys in line.
Right.
And you can't have too much estrogen floating around the office. Otherwise, your periods are all sync up. When I was at Hoffman, I got my period.
I thought they were all in menopause.
Well, they were in different stages of it. But
right.
there were a couple of younger ones and mine synced up.
Wow. Was it a heavy flow?
Some days.
Man, heavy flow days. Exciting stuff.
What about our football picks? We never got to them. We'll have to do it when we come back.
Ah, that's right. Well, we should do it when Danny's in studio
yeah,
anyway.
That's true.
All right. We'll take ourselves a quick break. More maxi pad talk. No, on light flow days, I would use a pad.
Sure.
Danny, light flow days.
That was delightful. Just
dynamite.
It was dynamite.
Light flow days sounds like... If you didn't know what it meant, it'd be an awesome name for a yogurt place.
Oh,
like
yeah.
down La Froyo,
yeah,
down at the airport.
Get a twisty.
I'm going to get a twisty, and I'm going to do it on a waffle cone down at Light Flow Days. You want some? They have a sorbet. Are you counting calories?
It's with a Z, of course.
They got a sorbet that's it's sweetened with fruit juice. It's almost no calories. I'm going down to Light Flow Days. Who wants something? Smoothie? Light Flow Days?
Yeah, I'll take one.
Okay. Quick break. Back with a wrap on our NFL picks with Danny.
He should be back.
Oh, yeah. He lives 30 feet from here.
Yeah.
He'll be in. We'll do the football picks. Not kidding this time.
And now, Alcoa presents Definitely Not a Jew on the Adam Carolla Show. Dateline, New York City. A 40-year-old public school principal was dismissed after attempting to cleanse her school of negative energy by smearing it with chicken blood. Definitely not a Jew.
All right, Danny back in studio has some blood on his left elbow. But
actually, it hurt more cleaning it than getting
it. Yeah, it's good and scraped up.
The black part is what hurt. The black part's part of the street that stayed in it. The blood is the blood. The black part is the street.
Hey, Roxanna?
Yes?
You think Danny has staged this motorcycle accident?
You know, I love Danny about 99% of the time, except for the past week. All I've heard is him and his tardiness and his excuses.
Once.
No, I just think, Danny, if you were late, you're late. We're always late to work. Someone always is. But, I mean, come on. Adam and Teresa, she's back. I'm just waking up. I really wanted to hear him for a minute, and you called in and you staged your bike falling down.
Well, if he staged his bike, he's mad because he has his blood all over his left elbow.
I love Roxanna,
though. It's his hair dye. It's his hair dye.
It's a what guy?
Hair dye.
Okay, you're joking now, right?
I just wanted to let you know that I appreciate that you're okay, Danny.
So do I.
I'm sick of your tardiness.
All right.
You can do better.
Really?
She's actually saying something nice. She's saying that when she tunes in and doesn't hear you, it upsets her morning. Mm. That's what I heard.
That's what that is.
Is that what you heard, or are you just trying to make me not want to kill her?
That really is what I heard.
That's what I heard. That's what she said. That's right.
That's what I'm saying. I really like you. I'm just saying.
I get that you like me and stuff, but and the hair dye thing, I thought that was funny, too. But I'm bleeding, and you're fine. Yes.
All right, Roxanna. Look, he got into a motorcycle accident. For the love of Christ, the man deserves our pity.
By the way,
scorn.
There's a police report and witnesses.
That's right.
I don't have to do this.
You don't have to defend yourself to Roxanne from Seattle. Let's get to these football picks. Let's not live in the past. Yeah. I know Teresa very anxious to get at the football picks.
I'm glad my very expensive Von Dutch watch is fine.
We decided to do this year, this season. We love making our football picks. We thought it didn't feel good taking home money. We thought we'd give the money to charity. I thought the easiest way to do things is everyone has a charity.
Yeah.
For me, it's my dog, Molly. Don't worry. I'll see that the money gets to her.
But who's Molly's charity?
Molly's a dog. She doesn't need a charity.
Donate hers to the SPCA if she wins?
Just give me the money. I'll get it to Molly. No, I have schizophrenia. Not myself, but married into some of it, and that becomes my charity. Teresa, you have a charity?
Yeah, it's Operation Gratitude. They send care packages to soldiers.
Oh, I like that one better than mine.
I love Operation Gratitude. It's a very good organization.
Good. I'm not going to mind giving you money this week. And Danny has the Children's Hospital, yes?
Yep. Going on Vermont.
So here's how we'll do it. We'll do it $100 a week. We'll all be in. And whoever wins that week doesn't have to make the donation to the other person's charity, but whoever loses must make the donation to the charity. So this week in the Chicago-San Diego game, I took San Diego, Danny took Chicago, Teresa took San Diego, and my dog Molly took Chicago. What a moron that dog Molly is. Turns out San Diego won 14-3 in what was a pretty close game up until the very end. And Adam and Teresa won. Molly and Danny both lost. But then we move on to Oakland. Detroit versus Oakland. I took what I thought was the revamped Oakland Raiders. Danny put his big toe into the black hole as well. Teresa, the lone naysayer, went with Detroit. The team that is 26 losses and 5 wins on the road over, the last 4 seasons. And my dog Molly stuck with her master and went with Oakland. But Detroit prevailed 36-21, and thus Teresa won that. Now going 2-2. The Dan Man, 0-2. The Mall Girl, 0-2. And the Ace Man, 1-2. We move on to Seattle, Washington versus Tampa Bay. Seattle, I took. Seattle, Danny took. Seattle, Teresa took. But Tampa Molly took.
She doesn't know they've been in a free fall.
Dog's a moron. Molly lost that. We all won. Teresa now 3-0, the bitch.
Yes.
Danny won for two. Two out of three for me, and I should say one out of three for Danny. Last game, Philly and Green Bay. I took Philly. Danny took Green Bay. Teresa took Philly. Molly took Green Bay. Danny was the only one, I believe, who won that one. Green Bay came out on top, 16-13. Who the hell knew? It's kind of nice to see the pack back. Either way, T won the week. Danny and I tied at 2-4, and Molly was a miserable 1-4. So Danny and I and Molly, Lynette will have to pay for that, are going to give to the charity of Teresa this week.
Well, Operation Gratitude is grateful.
All right, so we'll do that. We'll take a quick break. T?
Well, speaking of football, we are going to talk about the cheating Patriots and also take a quick listen to this.
Leave Benny alone!
Have you heard this guy, this YouTube guy?
Yes, I have, and I'm fast falling in love with him.
Me too.
All right, quick break. Back with the news next.
This is the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser. Coming up this morning, former fat man and current weatherman, Al Roker. Comedian and creator and producer of The Simpsons, Dana Gould. Plus, a spirited round of Will Angie Eat It. Call 866-901-ADAM. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, it's my show, but we're so happy to welcome back to it our own, straight from the studios of TMZ. And now, packing her news, Teresa Strasser.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
New England Patriots coach Bill Belichick issued a statement yesterday saying he is sorry. Of course, the Patriots are accused of videotaping the New York Jets play calling signals as their defensive coaches signal to the players on the field, which is, of course, against NFL rules. Mm-hmm. Now, a couple of players have spoken out, and I'm not hearing a lot of shock in their voices. Let's hear from San Diego Chargers running back LaDainian Tomlinson.
I think the Patriots actually live by the saying, if you're not cheating, you're not trying. I think that's the way they, you know, they live off that statement. And so nothing surprises me, really. I mean, I'm not surprised.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of an upbeat take. Now, here is Seattle Seahawks superstar Sean Alexander.
It's just hilarious, you know, that they did it and also got caught, because it makes you wonder how long they've been doing that. And, you know, we played them in New England before, and it seemed like they knew everything we were doing. Cheating is cheating. So whatever happens, happens.
Yeah, people have different takes on this. Oh, they're just trying to gain a competitive edge. Well, so is a boxer putting a horseshoe in his glove.
Right.
It's sports. There should be a certain dignity about it. It's not like the Pats aren't going to win anyway. I hope they throw the book at these guys. I've had an ass full of the Pats, to tell you the truth.
Most of
and
their fans.
They got busted doing it before.
Yes, that's
but
true.
But it's going to be great when I go to Kimmel's on Sunday and I have to sit in amongst all the folks from Foxborough.
Yeah.
Dear Online Diary. Because Bill Simmons, the sports guy from ESPN, wearing his I'm wearing my Tom Brady jersey. Oh, I wish I could get some of his essence on the front of this jersey. I would never wash it again. Dear Online Diary, everybody tries to win. The coach of the Pats, Bill Belichick, is just better. He's a warrior. That's right. That's right. Marcus of Queensberry, circa 07. He's just trying to gain a competitive edge. P.S. Go Pats.
Well, I think there's going to be a lot of discussion about what constitutes allowable cheating. Because in baseball, if you're trying to steal signs, you're just being cunning and smart, right? But if you're videotaping, then you're cheating.
They got busted once for it already. They should throw the book at those effing Pats. Oh, it's going to be a long season.
Take that, Bill Simmons.
They could go 16-0. They really could.
Well, you're angry, and I'm going to tell you about possibly the angriest man that you've ever heard of. Mm-hmm. He's a 27-year-old from St. Paul, Minnesota. This is unbelievable. He was arrested on his way to anger management class for assaulting two people at a bus stop with his anger management papers.
Oh, sweet irony.
He was at the bus stop,
uh-huh,
taking the bus to anger management class, and got into it with a few people who were also waiting for the bus. He got especially upset with one 59-year-old woman and yelled at her, quote, "Why don't you show me some respect?" So he ended up hitting her with the papers, his anger management papers, and she fell and hit her head on a building.
The former radio producer was last seen sweating and running down the street.
Yeah, sounds like Bruska. Show me some respect.
I hadn't heard that since Bruska. It's retro.
I always find it ironic that people who want respect are yelling at the other person, spitting on them, and pointing their finger into their forehead, yelling, "You must respect me!"
Yeah.
Right. You mean the way you're respecting me with your index finger in my cornea? That kind of respect?
Well, this guy left his anger management folder from his class behind, and that's how he was caught.
Good. One more time, everybody. You earn respect. You don't threaten people and scream at them at bus stops.
Yeah.
A lot of learned that from watching a lot of these new TV shows, Big Brother and Real World and all that. A lot of reality shows. A lot of crazy folks yelling, "Respect me."
Right.
You quietly go about earning your respect every day. You can't yell at people and tell them what they should feel about you. That will be done via your actions day in and day out.
Well, a guy who's been yelling a lot is a man named Chris Crocker. He's a YouTube sensation. Now, I included him in one of my stories at TMZ because I'm in love with him. He looks to be about 19 or 20. He's this kid. He goes on YouTube, and he's a huge fan of Britney Spears.
Mm-hmm.
He was very angry after this performance at the VMAs of Gimme More. Mm-hmm. And he went on YouTube to defend Britney Spears. I should mention that this single, you remember what you said, I think we beeped it. But this single, Gimme More, debuted yesterday on the Billboard Hot 100 at 85. That's not very good. So that's not great news for Britney. But the good news for her is that she has this
only
fan.
Are only 14 of the Hot 100 hot? I mean, if you make the Hot 100,
that's
aren't you hot?
Yeah, but if you were the lead performance at the VMAs,
you should be higher up than 85.
Yeah. You would think. So the word is, according to industry analysts, it may not go much higher, but I actually love the song.
Well, it's not horrible, although it just seems like it's made in the lab.
I love it.
Music used to be made by musicians. Now it just feels like I'm humping a robot that looks like a person, you know?
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like music anymore. It just doesn't feel like Britney was any more involved with this song than I was.
Well, I have theorized that she's actually one of the undead.
Ah.
No one's saying that, but what if she's a zombie?
I hear that zombie. He's the undead. Aren't we all the undead?
Oh my God, everyone who's
not dead is amongst the undead, are we not?
That.
He will roam the planet. You have to fight off the undead. I had a bunch of undead guys in front of me while I was driving to work, and I'm going to encounter more later today.
Well, Chris Crocker is undead, and he is unhappy.
Danny, by the way, is not pouting. Danny is back on the scene of his crime looking for, I think it's safe to say at this point, his wallet, because he's there by now.
Yeah.
We didn't want to say he was going back to look for his wallet.
Somebody else would get it.
Someone else would get it, but now it appears that he hasn't gotten it either. He left 10, 15 minutes ago to go get his wallet. I assume he's there by now and we can speak about it. I just want to say that for those who think he's sitting on his tongue.
He's not napping.
Right.
He's standing by. Now, here's Chris Crocker on YouTube defending Britney Spears.
And how f***ing dare anyone out there make fun of Britney after all she's been through? She lost her aunt. She went through a divorce. She had two f***ing kids. Her husband turned out to be a user, a cheater, and now she's going through a custody battle. All you people care about is readers and making money off of her. She's a human!
Do you want to hear a little more?
I like anyone who's passionate about anything.
I can tell you
this guy's going to get quite a razzing from his junior college football team, especially the guys who he plays with on the defensive side of the ball.
Right.
I'm guessing he's a strong safety.
Yeah, it sounds about right. Let's hear a little bit more.
What you don't realize is that Britney's making you all this money, and all you do is write a bunch of crap about her. She hasn't performed on stage in years. Her song is called Give Me More for a reason, because all you people want is more, 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 more.
Ha.
Leave her alone.
Is there any way he's a performance
You're
artist?
You're lucky she even performed for you bastard. Leave Benny alone. Please.
All right, I'm putting this theory together.
Yeah.
We're all being gaslit.
Are we? I can't
look
tell.
Look it up, people. Yes.
Every, this is a movie.
There's
which
no,
they make
there's no
think
such
good.
Thing as an Al Sharpton, right. All those artists who want government grants yeah. to defecate on the body of Christ and all that. They're just there trying to create emotion in a world where we've removed it. You understand? We don't worry anymore about being eaten by wild animals or shelter or fire or food. We now have to create a false environment where we get to have emotions. We get to get angry at these people. We get to laugh at the misfortune of others. We get to feel smart when other people are dumb. I think these people are all just plants by the government
right.
in order to distract us while they extract our tax money.
So Gloria Allred, real?
No.
Or government plant?
No. Her? No. Ann Coulter?
Plant.
Plant. All the black activists, Al Sharpton and...
Jesse Jackson?
Plant. Plant. All the
Rosie?
Guys... Not doesn't exist.
Trump?
He's real. His oh, hair is not,
kiss
but he's
my fat ass.
Tyra?
No. None of these. None
Wait
of
a second.
All
Miss
the
South
people.
Carolina?
All the people on
smoking sucks.
All the people on YouTube. All the people we go. Look at that guy. What an idiot. He's
True
just
that,
there.
Peeps.
He's just there to make us feel smarter. That's all. And the government put him there so we could feel smarter. And all the time we go, oh, my God, I hate that guy. That's just so we could feel. You see, we're living in a place, man, everyone. Yeah. Pull up a beanbag and a hookah pipe and dig this. We all have roofs over our head. We all have central air, central heat. We've created a climate, an environment. We all have airbags in our cars. The animals are safely at bay. We go and buy our animal at the market, man.
Freak out!
It's where the market sells us our animal, man. And we take it home, and we don't start a fire. We turn a switch, we hear a clicking sound, and we cook up our animal. We have no disease. We get shots. We get vaccinated at birth, man. You get vaccinated. The man puts a syringe in your arm, and we never have to worry about smallpox or hepatitis or anything else again. So now, the only thing missing is feeling. You see, we lost the ability to feel. We don't feel fear, danger, no highs, no lows. We're all down the middle. So these guys come on TV and they make us feel angry. That Ann Coulter saying, what about 9/11 widows? She's calling them the C word. Ah, little emotion. Then we hear the gay guy on YouTube. What an idiot. Man, do I feel smart. I didn't think I was together emotionally. Well, apparently I am. Because this guy's crying over Britney Spears. You see, it's all performance artists, so I'm not buying into it.
You just blew my mind.
You ready to be blown into a deeper space?
Yeah.
Freak out!
How do you know I'm not one of them, man?
I'm freaking out.
How do you know?
Well, let's hear more of government plant Chris Crocker.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Perez Hilton talked about professionalism and said if Britney was a professional, she would have pulled it off no matter what. Speaking of professionalism, when is it professional to publicly bash someone who's going through a hard time? Leave Britney alone!
That was the third
Please.
Take.
Leave Britney Spears alone right now! I mean it. Leave her alone.
All right, please somebody write this down. How about the YouTube Oscars?
That's not a bad idea.
An award show for the greatest YouTube performances. We have the guy who's singing Chocolate Rain.
Right, that guy's huge.
We have this guy. They're all up against each other in the dramatic category. We have the comedy category.
They do have the Webbies.
Yeah.
But they could have a performance category. They should add a performance category.
They should.
Webbies.
Yeah.
This guy would be awesome.
I'm in love with him. I don't judge him. I respect his passion. Now, you were talking about maybe him playing on the football team at junior college, but what is it like to be his dad? Jimmy Kimmel explores.
Mm-mm.
Why? Why? Where did I go wrong? I bought him a BB gun. I took him camping. I played catch with him. And now my baby boy looks like a crazy old woman.
Well, there was very little on the World Wide Web about him, but I did some digging. There was one
piece. That wasn't Kimmel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was Kimmel?
Yeah, you want to hear it?
Was that last night's show?
Yeah.
Oh.
You watch it every night.
Well, I TiVo it, and then I watch it the next day, so I'm always a day behind.
This
was a good, very good bit.
Mm.
What's the... Oh, Danny's back.
Danny's back.
No, I might as well just say...
I just said... I gave you 12 minutes, and then I said he's looking for a SWAT.
Yeah, the thing that makes me nervous is I also wear my card key around my neck to get into the building. And I took my helmet off and all that stuff and set it down on the newsstand. And then I showed somebody my license. And my key card was still sitting on the newsstand.
So you got your key card back.
Yeah, it was just sitting there. Where I took off my computer and all the stuff and set it down.
Danny got into a motorcycle accident on the way in. Not serious, but serious enough to draw some blood on his left elbow.
Not enough attention. I need a ride attention.
Yes. I'm surprised you weren't offered a ride.
People passed.
Actually, I think I may have been offered
like
a ride.
Like a red-haired dog on the street. But Danny left his wallet.
It looks like I got my wallet on like a newspaper stand for a free newspaper, a real estate one. Or maybe it was just a real estate session. I don't know. I was pretty thrown. But if you see my wallet, where can I ask him to return it? Because it's the wrong address on there.
Well,
it's my home address, my wife's home.
I'll tell you what, 866-901-ADAM, if you've seen Danny's wallet.
You want to offer a reward?
Wallet.
Well, it's almost stupid. What, $100, $200?
How much is in the wallet? How much is in it?
Several hundred dollars.
Oh, really?
But what about the inconvenience of having to replace it?
Yeah, how about they keep that?
Yeah. They keep the money. They give you back all your credit cards and your license.
All right. All right, that's where absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. No, too much.
Yeah, no, it's fair.
How about you keep half of what's in the wallet?
I have noticed that since my wife filed for divorce, and I don't know why, because we have the same accountant. She knows exactly every penny I have. Mm-hmm. I carry more cash on me than I ever have.
Well, here's
like I have to flee or something.
He could be making a run for the border any moment.
Not that much money.
Well, we'll get into this later on in the show, but if the ATM is going to charge you $2 and now $3 for withdrawal, if you take out $20 at a time, you're paying 15% or whatever the hell it is, 30% or whatever, 15%, I guess, on what you drew out.
Yeah, it went up for Bank of America.
If you take out $300, you're paying 1%.
Well, I just moved yesterday to the bank downstairs because it was so convenient. So I took a fair wad of money
out. So you think there's $400 in your wallet?
Easily.
Easily $400. See, here's the problem.
So, yeah, if you find it and bring me my credit cards and driver's license, you can keep the money.
Wow.
That's nice.
All right.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't do it. I'd keep the money anyway.
Once that happened, the person, be honest, that person would be honest enough to give you the money back. All right, if you find Danny's wallet, 866-901-ADAM.
It would be at the corner of, what did that gentleman say?
Hauser.
Hauser, and it begins with an R. It's right down the street from here. It's literally, I moved across the street.
Right. Hmm. Well, look, it'll have, if you have a wallet and you found it this morning and there's a picture of the kid who used to play the bass in the Partridge Family where it says driver's license.
You can return it here.
There's a 50-50 chance that'll be Danny's.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I will just close by saying this, that crazy YouTube guy, the word is, and I don't know if this is true, but that he at one time lived in a very small Bible Belt town. It can only be reached by some kind of, propeller plane or something.
Mm-hmm.
And he was secretive about where he lived. I don't know where he's living now, but, he's a mystery and I can't wait to learn more after he wins his YouTube Oscar. I'm Teresa Strasser and that's the news.
Tomorrow's news. Today, Teresa Strasser. You, CNN.
Well, next up, a man after my own heart, the hunky Eric Stromer. Eric is from Over Your Head, home improvement show. He's a carpenter. I love carpenters. Eric is on Home and Garden TV. I think he's done a lot of this stuff,
yeah,
though.
He was on a big TLC show. I want to say Clean Sweep.
Yes, because Over Your Head is a new series, but I've definitely seen Eric on here before or on those shows before. We'll bring him in. We'll find out if he's a real carpenter.
Oh, that's right.
That's right. Next.
You know I yell at Ty Pennington?
Please. Not a real carpenter. Maybe Eric and I will both make fun of Ty Pennington. Next on the Adam Carolla Show.
from HGTV's Over Your Head.
Every day in Los Angeles County alone, we waste one football field times 33 stories in water that goes directly into the ocean from our drains. Pesticides, chemicals, all sorts of residue that could be prevented with drought-resistant planting.
The host of Over Your Head, Eric Stromer, on the Adam Carolla Show.
Eric looks like a cross between Keith Urban and Billy Ray Cyrus, if you want to know what he looks like. And I don't mean the old mullet, achy breaky, yeah. Billy Ray. I mean
they
the new
Montana.
Improved.
That's
I'm talking right. Hannah
you mean
Montana.
The new improved William Ray Cyrus.
That's yes. Right. All right. Now good. With 50% less mullet.
That's correct.
And 100% more money.
Yeah. Yes.
That kid Hannah Montana. Yeah. I didn't know that was his kid. A right. Friend of mine asked me, "Can I get tickets for him in Florida?" So I said, oh, "Yeah, I can probably pull this off." She's like, you'd think she won 20 Academy Awards. You can't right. Get near her. You can't get tickets. You can't buy tickets.
Yeah, my kids are obsessed with her.
I don't really know her. My kids don't watch her. One of them is into goth rock.
Just to know, it's actually kind of a cute show.
It is kind of cute.
It's not
I think
bad.
Right.
William Ray does
William
nice
Ray,
job.
Right?
Yeah.
I like it. We did metal school together.
Can we just tell the people that there's an equation of the shorter the mullet, the more income you can receive, right?
Is that right?
I think that must be what it is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to shave my head. Okay.
But that theory comes crashing down to earth with Bald Brian, who has no mullet, he has no hair, he doesn't have enough hair to hang a mullet off of and makes close to zero.
Come on!
No, he shaved so far down he doesn't have a future.
That's correct, yeah.
Eric Stromer in studio over your head. Now, you're an actual carpenter.
Yes, I was a general contractor for about 15 years. And,
I see.
That's where I kind of, you know that business, right?
He doesn't
right.
Trust I mean, you, Eric.
I don't trust you.
You know who.
I've been burned by Ty
right,
Pennington.
Right.
No. Please don't go there with me.
I auditioned
first
for...
First you could beat him up.
I was told some years ago that, hey, they're doing this show, which right. Is now the Ty Pennington show on ABC. Right. I believe it's on ABC, yeah. Yeah, the home makeover show.
Yeah.
And they said, hey, they want you to be the guy on that show. And I said, well, that's perfect because I know building and I know comedy and this is going to be awesome. And then I went in for the meeting.
Right.
And they said, well, you're not going to be the main guy. You'll be one of the crew guys. And I said, well, who's the main guy? And they said, Ty Pennington. And I said, I don't know who that is. And they said, funny is the day is long and a master carpenter. And I said, now, here's what you have. You have racist master carpenter.
Right.
You have deadbeat dad master carpenter.
Right,
you have man struggling with addiction and alcohol master carpenter.
Right.
You have...
How about the lord of all hosts master carpenter?
You don't have funny master carpenter.
Right. Right.
I'm the guy who's closest to that.
That's right. Now,
I walked out broken. Shaken.
Don't be.
Shaken, not stirred. I walked out and I thought, who is this attractive man who's a master carpenter and super funny and quick-witted? I thought, wow, it's time to take a good look in the mirror. Perhaps there's a doppelganger floating around
now,
out there.
Now, have you spent any time thinking about this?
I the better part of the 80s. Thinking about it, but okay. Then Ty came on the show, and I asked him a couple of questions.
Right.
That's right. Yeah. I kicked his carpentry tires.
Right. Kicked his toolbox.
Right. Yeah, and
oh,
I found
sack
out
by the time he was done.
Not a carpenter.
Do you want to quiz Eric Stromer? Because I happen to know him.
Yeah.
And he really
do you want to do some quizzes?
Thing.
Yeah, I like that. Now, again, I would never weight these questions or make them insane. I'll ask some very obvious questions.
Okay.
Right. All you listening and people in this room have your field of expertise. Maybe it's computers, maybe it's cars, maybe it's whatever. And there are basic questions that can be asked within your field that wouldn't be
right.
Considered exotic
right.
Or personal. Such as...
Now, wait. May I interject?
Yes.
Do you have to understand that I was a tile contractor?
So okay.
So give me the tile stuff.
He's good at that, too.
All right.
We're all good.
That,
give me
right?
The framing
right.
Stuff. I'm okay.
Give
me the sales stuff to sell the job.
No.
Come on.
All
get
right.
Out of town.
How would you cut... How would you cut some hardy backer or some Wonder Board?
You could either cut it with a grinder or a utility
amazing.
Knife.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Score it with a utility knife and snap it.
And snap it.
Much
or,
like drywall.
Or grind it.
All right.
Use a grinder.
How thick does that come in?
It comes in quarter inch. It comes in 5/8 and a half inch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And
it
then,
also comes in siding.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay,
let's,
boom,
let's
baby.
Let's
end
focus.
Of story.
Adam,
right,
come on.
Focus.
Give him a little something.
I mean, yeah.
All right, I'm started with tile just
okay,
to warm
okay,
you
okay,
in.
Okay, good.
Just
right.
To warm you in.
Yeah.
What's the difference between Thinset and Mastic?
Thinset is a cement-based product, and you mix it with water.
Uh-huh.
Also, acrylic admix can add the tensile strength to the product. Mm-hmm. Now, Mastic is an acrylic product.
What would you apply it with?
A trowel.
What kind of trowel?
Whatever size you need for the tile that you're using.
Perhaps a notch trowel?
You can either use a V-notch trowel or you can use a square notch trowel, mm-hmm. depending on how thick you need to get those ridges.
Okay.
Oh,
boy.
He just corrected me.
I mean, what is this? School
he
time?
He knows his time. Yeah. All right, let's talk
Thank
framing.
Thank you, Brian.
Let's talk framing. You're not out of the woods yet, son.
What?
Okay.
Studs.
Hold on.
How do you lay those studs out? What is
16 inches on center.
You just ask. And that leaves, what is an opening in the bay?
14 and a half.
All right. And if you're using, let's say, 2x6 studs, what kind of insulation would you put in the bay?
R33.
Hmm?
For the roofing, if you want to do that.
Seems a little healthy for the
You can do R60.
For the 2x6. All right.
I thought you were talking, well, you'd put the 2x6s, right. Adam, right. in the ceiling or the basement.
The bottom
plate. So what are you talking about?
The bottom plate of the framing, what would the bottom plate be made of?
If it's on the ground pressure treated, but if it's on the a regular scenario for a building, it would just be regular 2x4.
Mm-hmm. And I'm putting in a window, and it's 3 foot wide. What
Let's
size,
put one in together.
What size header?
Huh?
What size header would I put in?
For what now?
3 foot opening.
It's usually roughly a the inch per foot scenario. So it depends on how far you want to go.
All right. Yes,
Adam,
he knows what he's doing.
Would you be willing to turn the tables and allow Eric Stromer to ask
please.
You a question?
Yes, please.
Adam, if you will, and Danny, and Teresa.
Yeah.
Anyone can answer.
Yeah.
Adam, say that you want to create a beautiful shower. Mm-hmm. Would you A?
It's going right back to the top.
I'm going right back.
Let me tell you how confident. I am, Eric Stromer.
From, over
your head.
No, listen.
I'm going to look at Ferraris on eBay while you ask your question.
He's not kidding me.
So you're in the shower, you got a soap on a rope scenario going, right? Mm-hmm. You're in the big house, say. You've just been busted, and you're trying to figure out how you're going to survive. Do you A, sell your shoes, or B, wear the soap on the rope and just kind of get through the situation?
360 Modena going for around 125.
The 355
looks good. I was confused because I was expecting a construction job.
No, I went straight to the prison.
Give me one good construction work.
All right, Adam. What topic do you? I mean, what subject matter? You want to do framing?
Finish,
you
want to
do
cabinetry?
Okay,
matter.
I got it. For creating a deck outdoors, would you? What kind of screw would you use? Or nail?
Well, obviously, you know, you can use your stainless steel if you're shooting it out of a gun. You could use something with like a ring shank so it had some good pull out to it.
That's
you
nice.
Could use just a 16 or 8 penny galvanized common head, but I would screw it off, and now there's many choices. Back in the day, you just use a coarse thread bugle head zinc cover drywall screw, but now I would use a decker with a square drive. In your face, Stromer!
Wow. Okay, wait. Adam, as you folks are my witness, would you have a dance-off with me right now?
Oh,
Come on.
Dance fight?
Dance-off.
You know what?
Yeah, come on.
Remember when Britney and Justin Timberlake had a dance-off?
I want a dance-off with you, baby.
I'd like to see this.
With a tool belt and with some boots and maybe a Speedo.
Well,
let's go.
If we're
right
doing the dance-off with our pants off, then I'm in.
I was going to say, if that's all you're doing, I'm in too, and I can't build anything.
Adam, are you slightly disturbed, though, that Eric Stromer is what Ty Pennington should be?
That's
gorgeous,
right.
Funny, and an actual carpenter.
That's right.
I am kind of stuck on the handsome thing since I don't know anything about carpentry.
You know, I feel some love here today. I like it here.
Not that insulation isn't fascinating, but I do have a kind of a repair question.
Right.
If you were to say, I don't know, want to give me stitches right now, what size fishing line, that's what I use at home for in-home stitches, would you use? What test?
I think, Adam, what are you thinking? Because it looks like you do have a little abrasion there. What happened?
Show that elbow.
I crashed my bike on the way to work.
Are you serious? Yeah. Oh, man. Are you all right?
Dude, yeah. Actually, I hate saying the word because I can't think of a better word. I'm, like, still scared. This guy just pulled out in front of me, and I hit the brake and slid and laid it down and cut myself up. But I got up, and there were a bunch of witnesses. I talked to him. and I could tell I wasn't hurt, and I still can't stop being, like, scared. Is there a better word I can use?
Well, that's adrenaline shaking, coursing through your body
But anyway, if you get into a car accident, you're scared for the next hour, and if you get into an accident on a bike, you're 10 times what you were in a car accident because you're out in the open.
Right. Well, and I don't want to try and sound like a tough guy or anything like that, but I'm also not particularly used to the sensation.
No.
I get afraid of it.
No. But you're okay, obviously.
Yeah, but I'm just wondering.
Since you don't have a huge opening, why don't we just wash you up and put some antibiotics?
That's the washed up version.
Oh, boy.
Hey, Brian. Brian's on the phone, wants to say hi to our guest.
Hi, Brian.
Eric, it's Brian Aranda.
Hey, what's up, Brian?
Hey, you're not going to be late for the meeting, are you?
No. Brian's a cabinet maker, and he's going to come to my house and help me remodel my kitchen.
Oh, he is. Yes. What's the difference between a rabbit and a dado, Mr. Cabinet Maker?
A rabbit's the best vibrator on the market.
The dado's a singer from the 90s.
Yeah.
What's that?
Adam, we don't do that. We do dados in the back with a half-inch screw. We have a CNC machine, so everything's cut automatedly, and we do a lot of high-end custom cabinetry, which we don't use the rabbits and things like that.
Yeah, I see.
Beautiful stuff.
Eric is seriously the coolest guy. When we were on the show, he hung out with us every day. He played lacrosse in the backyard, just so you guys know for the world that he is. He knows a lot. He helped kind of lay out the bathroom because we had a bathroom up in the room that they did. And my dad had passed away, so we weren't sure how he laid it out. So Eric kind of figured it out, and then we got it done. And Eric, by the way, the bathroom we did, it looks incredible.
Oh, good. I'm glad, Brian.
But I will see you at 10 o'clock.
All right, man. I'll see you at 10. Thanks for calling.
Thanks, Brian. Thank you.
That's Brian Aranda, man.
Well, Eric Stromer not only looks but backs it up with his knowledge of building. I am humbled.
I'm very grateful, though, for you providing me with this quiz because, you know, you get rusty when you do the TV.
And also, you get because of Adam's distaste for this cat.
Yes.
You get a handsome guy, and it's apparently Teresa and I are stuck on the fact that you're handsome. Not in a gay way.
I've known Eric for years, so I'm not surprised. Yes. But he remains handsome.
Of course, Teresa doesn't like you in a gay way like I do. But if I was going to do it with a carpenter, it's either you or the one that can raise me from the dead.
Well, thank you. That's very nice, I guess. I think that's good. Is that good?
But since I don't know anything about carpentry at all, I'm just going to ask you a personal question.
All right.
Does my sister direct any of your television shows, Celia Bonaducci?
No,
she doesn't?
I would obviously know if that were the
case. She's one of the bigger directors at your
company.
Is
that right? Yeah. Oh, great. Good.
She can't fix it.
I have to look for her. That's
Is
her.
Over Your Head already on the air?
Over Your Head's been on for about 2.5 seasons, almost a year now.
I need to start watching it.
It's a really fun show. The thing I love about it is that, and Adam, you would realize this, when you were working for clients, you know, they don't want to feel like they're intimidated. You don't want to make them feel like they don't know what's going on. Mm-hmm. So it's nice to bring everybody through the process together with a lot of good natured and irreverent humor. And that always kind of makes it
a little
easier.
I never went that route.
You didn't?
I didn't let them know. Mussolini had entered the building. First thing, I'd say to the guy, hey, peon, get me a beer.
Yeah.
And I'd say to the woman, start sucking.
Well,
that's the way it worked. I wanted them to know who was in charge.
Well, yeah, that's a great way to establish your territory.
Not building that house by committee.
That's right.
Well, it's on tonight at 11 p.m.
Yeah, 11 p.m. and also Saturday mornings at 11 a.m.
Well,
so
I love the cut of Eric Stromer's jib. God bless you.
He cut it himself.
We'll be watching HGTV Over Your Head. Eric,
thanks, Adam.
You're the real
deal. Thanks, Danny. Teresa, thank you.
And speaking of the real McCoy, Dana Gould, comedian Dana Gould, all around smart guy and prompt. He's been here for over an hour.
Genetically, my junk is full of poison.
Yes.
He'll be in to talk more building. No, we're not going to bore you with that. We'll talk Planet of the Apes trivia next with Dana Gould.
And South Carolina. Why do they want those states to outlaw abortion? It's simple. More inbred children. Now, I don't think I'm being unfair when I say that everybody from the South is a sister-banging hillbilly. Now, why do they want more inbred children? Why? It's simple. Southern domination of the Special Olympics. That's what this whole thing is about.
And now, comedian Dana Gould on the Adam Carolla Show.
Good to see you, Dana. Quick little piece of business from last segment. If you... Now, this isn't a plea to be in the studio audience of Over Your Head. This is a potentially very expensive remodel that they can help you with. www.overyourhead.tv. they're looking for folks to come in and mop up. People start their projects. They don't finish them. They're looking for a bunch of hunky, knowledgeable guys to come to your house and do it. So if you want to get on that list, www.overyourhead.tv. Dana Gould.
Now, www.tv.tv is people doing a remodel on their bodies.
Really?
Yes. Wow.
It's them actually.
Yeah. TVs.
Well, I know some, and that took me a minute.
Well, if you're thinking of coming home queer, don't come home.
Thank you. Dana Gould going to be at the Melrose Improv headlining this Friday and Saturday night. Ah, the Melrose Improv, refreshing.
I like to keep it local.
Sure, why not?
I'll drive over the hill.
Well, you look at it this way. When you leave the house, the second you get in your car and turn the key, you're on the clock. That's the way Dana looks at it.
Exactly. Well, you know, because I'm a thinker, if I wake up, I'm working. Seriously.
I like the blowhard comedian who explains he doesn't know where it comes from. It just comes. I don't know where it comes from.
I don't make this stuff up, folks.
So let me get this straight. There's just one of those habit trail tubes going right to the maker's mouth that spills all this right into your brain.
Yeah. It comes to you from Jesus.
Dana hates Jesus. How do I know? Well,
how do you know?
He did. Now, I don't know how to explain this, that Hollywood Hell House thing. Halloween's coming up. Yeah. We do this thing out here that would make the red states very upset.
It really is.
I don't know if they do it in New York. I don't know if it's probably just a coast thing. Probably a Hollywood Tribeca thing.
I think it's a flyover thing.
Right.
There's a thing that a church did originally, I believe it was in Texas. There's a shock. Mm-hmm. That it was a Halloween spook house for Christians, and it was all the horrible things that can happen to you if you're a sinner. Like they go, like a girl, instead of like zombies coming out, you see a girl getting an abortion, or a girl in hell because she didn't pray, or a kid killing somebody in his classroom because he didn't go to church and he went all Jeremy from Pearl Jam.
Which is
that's what happened to my wife, I think.
It's good if you're Christian, but better if you're high.
Yeah, well, that was the thing, is that some people that I know, we mounted it in L.A., and we didn't change anything.
Right. Oh, so you just did a recreation.
Did it straight, but it was all ironic.
And, I mean, it's been, is it going on its sixth, seventh year here? Because I seem to remember this about 5, 6 years
ago. Yeah, it's probably cruising into about its fifth or sixth year. And it is literally the, and the gentleman, the holy man, who rented it from, his whole attitude was basically, maybe someone will see it and be changed.
Right.
Do you have to rent it from them?
I think it's
licensed.
Yeah, it is.
Now, can anyone go to this?
Yeah, thing? No. I think I'm not sure where it is this year, but it's usually at the Center for Inquiry West, Steve Allen Theater. Which is available in your computers and phone
It's
books.
One of these Hollywood hipster things where you'll go there and you'll see Janine Garofalo.
Right.
And, hey, there's Bill Maher banging a hooker in Baby Jesus'
crib. It's like
crib.
Watching one of those movies. Have you ever gone to the movie at the cemetery? You know
Jesus
what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
the Hollywood River.
Stuff.
The hipster stuff. Yeah.
You know it's a brand new MTV show.
Jesus' crib.
It is, but on the other hand, here's because this morning on the news, there was... There's a... People, you know... We're talking about the Mormon church. There's these, you know, these people, the really degenerate people are the super religious people.
Yes.
Like, there's that guy on trial. I heard on the news this morning when I was driving here at 5:07. He's on trial.
He's been waiting for 4 hours.
He's on trial because he married a 14-year-old girl, told a 14-year-old girl to marry her 19-year-old cousin.
Right.
And he's on trial because the Mormons believe that the fundamentalist Mormons believe the more wives you have, the higher a glory you achieve in heaven. But see, that a lot of things are, it makes obvious sense.
Right.
Like, you know why walking under a ladder is bad luck? Because something could fall on your head.
You get a paint bucket dropped on your head.
Right. The more wives you had, the more wives you have, the more appealing the afterlife gets. The more wives you have at home, the easier death becomes as an option.
Are things tough at home, Gina?
No, these are just common observations.
Yeah. No, but as one of us going through a divorce after 17 years, I can look you right now and go, funny principle, real thing.
They're, exactly.
Not all the good ones are.
I'm so sorry you're having to.
No, I, I sort of always have said that, I mean, jokingly about the polygamy and the bigamy and all that stuff, which is I'd like to start some cult where I have about 5/8 of a wife.
Uh-huh.
I don't need a full wife. You know, a lot of these folks wanting 18, 19 wives. Well, I think I'm the kind of guy to be good right around 9/16.
Now, does that mean that you're not all the way fully engaged in the marriage, or she's deformed and there's only a certain amount of her?
I'd like to go the deformity, yes.
I was
a refinery fire.
Yeah.
No, I was talking. I got an email from some of Kimmel's crew saying we're going to Vegas for Jimmy's party. We're going to get the basketball suite up at the Palms, and we're going to blow it out big time. And I thought, ooh.
Yeah.
That's shooting hoops naked.
Ever been in there?
That's going to be awesome.
Rad,
and then my wife happened along and said, yeah, we're going to Vegas for Jimmy's party. And I was like, oh, huh? And she said, yeah, everyone's going. I thought this was the fellas going to Vegas. And then I thought, I don't plan on doing anything over there other than not being with my wife.
Yeah.
That was my plan.
Hey, me and Jimmy are going to go to the Bunny Ranch. That's so funny, honey. I'm going to the Bunny Ranch.
See, but again,
I'm not doing anything, but if I had 5/8 of a wife, I could probably make it.
Sure. You can send them off.
If I had four wives, three of them would end up going. We'd argue all the way.
Well, that's the thing about gangbangs. Sure, they're fun in theory, but after the sex, you got to make that relationship work. And that's a problem.
You and the three bisexuals you just nailed.
I don't know exactly how much of your stuff comes from real life, but I've done a lot of shady stuff, and you're awful good. You're awful good at the nasty details. If you come up with the problem of tying chicks up, is untying them afterwards?
Oh, yeah.
It's just so embarrassing.
Well, you know, look, I do a lot of talking. But I do know there's a problem with wet rope.
Yeah.
Right? It shrinks when it dries.
You can't loosen that knot.
Yeah.
But I do have, I know it's probably too late for you, Danny. The secret to keeping your marriage afloat is never finish this sentence. I'll tell you what I think.
Yeah.
Just what you have to do is everybody should go to a hypnotist.
Mm-hmm.
And the minute you get to think, you automatically check the house for dead light bulbs. You just leave the room.
Wow.
Or replace them with compact fluorescent.
Yeah. You immediately walk out of the room.
Dana Gould is going to be at the Melrose Improv headlining coming up this Friday and Saturday night. Dana, you worked on The Simpsons for quite a long time.
I did.
What do you think of the movie? What did you think of the movie? How about the money?
I did not see the
generated?
Movie. You didn't see it.
I did not see the movie.
Now,
what?
Think before you answer this.
Okay.
I don't want
I saw it for free 30 times before it opened, so I didn't feel the need to go.
You saw different variations
of
it.
I saw it grow up from a two-hour black and white pencil test.
Uh-huh. Oh, because you were very involved with the process.
I watched all of the process. I didn't work on it.
Did they ask you to watch it?
The show, the movie was written by a small group of writers, all of whom had run the show basically before. Al Jean and Mike Scully and George Meyer and all these people that are incredibly talented. And over the course of the development of the movie, they would have all the other writers go, hey, we're going to screen it and tell us what you think. And we'd watch it and we'd write down what we think. And then they would take it. And it was interesting that the notes would go right into the trash. They wouldn't even look. They wouldn't even glance at the notes as they put them in the trash. That's great. Shred.
Right. So none of your input actually made it to the stage.
No, but they did fine without me, didn't they?
I would say they did. I don't know what The Simpsons has generated, and I don't even know if they can figure this out.
Well, here's what they do.
But between lunch pails and 18 years on the season, you know, seasons and the theater now, I mean, it must be into the billions.
Jim Brooks has a new deal where he doesn't get money directly from the show. What happens is he eats leaves and poops cash.
Really?
That's
his new deal.
Wow.
Steady revenue stream.
Well, I would think, Dana, that you don't have to be headlining at the Melrose. I'm glad you are at the Improv Friday.
No one headlines the Melrose Empire for the money.
Right. Yet you still
do it. For the love of the craft and the need to crave drunken people for approval.
Yeah, but they do give you a lot of approval.
I misused crave in that sentence.
I knew what you meant.
By the way, do you know that you hold a great distinction with me? Are you aware of that?
From, we're not going back to the gangbang thing, are we?
Well, I thought about it. Turn around. Let me see the back of your head. Yeah, I do know you. No, when I was in 1991, I had a thing with that transvestite.
Right.
And that made a lot of scandal, and I was on the cover of all the Inquirers and stuff, and people started paying me money to tell that story. Mm-hmm. And pretty good money. And it was about an 8-minute story. And they kept saying, be a stand-up comic, be a stand-up comic. And I'd watch stand-up comics, and I'd go, I don't know how they do that. That's, how do you do that? You are the only comic ever that I came up to and said, hey, would you, you were just starting out. I don't know if you're just starting out, but you weren't making the money you are now. And I said, would you ever consider writing for me? You're the only person I've ever asked that.
Oh, that is very, I remember that, and it's very sweet.
And
you do.
And you said no.
I said no.
But I understand why you said no. I wasn't mad at you at all.
Because you know what? I don't know where it comes from.
Yeah.
It just beams in.
By the way, Danny, that's a callback, which is one of the many reasons you want to hire Dana.
That's
why
the reason is comedy.
That's right.
Is that what that is?
Yeah. Dana is going to be calling all that back at the Melrose Improv.
Very nice, Merv.
Another callback.
Just call a sweet, sweet tie-up or something.
NPR has the worst ones of those.
Do they?
Yeah.
I don't even notice when they do it.
Yeah, bond markets are... Yeah, the money show on NPR is, you know...
Market Watch?
Yeah, the bond markets are falling. One other thing that's falling, mortgage rates. Coming in.
Yeah. Well, the beauty is they don't really have to entertain.
No.
Because they'll still have a job.
Right.
They get tenure.
As Huell Hauser will tell us. We need to...
This is amazing.
Thank you. We need to take ourselves a break. Dana Gould's going to be at the Melrose Improv this Friday and Saturday night. Go there because he doesn't have to. He wants to.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's a difference between picking up a hot chick at a bar and buying a prostitute. One chick wants to be there. The other chick's just doing it for your cash. You want a comedian who's not up there trying to, you know, pay off some sort of crack habit. You want a guy who's flush and doing it for the love of the game.
My needs are not financial. They are emotional.
Yeah. That's right.
Well, let me just say that sometimes a comic who's doing it for the crack money can still be funny.
Oh, sure.
Danny, that was not an attack in any way, shape, or form, just because I was looking and pointing at you while I was saying it.
Well, he's doing the TV jokes, and you're doing that, and crashed my bike.
Danny's had a hard day. Lost his wallet, he crashed his bike.
You had a bike accident.
Actually, well, yeah, I did. I crashed, and I'm bleeding, but there were no other real vehicles involved. The guy just pulled in front of me, and I was either had to hit the light post or lay it down. So I was like the $6 million man or whatever, stunt man. I had to make a choice between hitting something head on or laying it down, and I went with laying it down.
Do you realize how long it's... I know we probably have to go to a break. How long it's been since I talked to somebody my age who just had a bicycle accident?
Oh, no. I assume he was... Oh, Danny, you weren't talking about a bicycle, were you?
Oh, see, when you said I was out of breath and huffing, I thought you were saying bike.
I assumed you were talking about the Harley.
The Huffy.
Oh,
right down the Huffy.
This is embarrassing.
No, I see Dan and Ed Begley Jr. riding their bikes together.
There's a team of partiers right there, me and Ed.
Same guy. Hey, Dana Gould, thanks for coming by.
Thanks,
Melrose Improv this weekend. We will take ourselves a break. When we come back, I've pulled some clips from CNN early this morning. They irked me. Hopefully, they'll get under your skin as well. I'll play you those clips next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Adam Carolla, Adam Carolla, Adam Carolla. That's his name. Hey, Adam Carolla, Adam Carolla, Adam Carolla. He does it every day.
Call 866-901-ADAM. Now back to Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaduce, and Teresa Strasser on the Adam Carolla Show.
In fact, never play this again.
Did you recognize my voice in that one? I had a few beers. All right. Well, I was watching CNN. Here's my schedule for those of you interested. I get up at 5. I head downstairs to... actually... Thank you. Then I head downstairs. I make myself a couple of poached eggs and a little rye toast. Now, do not kid yourself, people. Go with the Jewish rye, the thin rye. It's crispy, not the fat, goyim, bloated rye. It's too much dough.
Yeah.
Nice and crispy. Butter that up. Put a little jam on there. And then I hear the little pitter-patter of Molly's paws. That's right. Hold on. Number two. Then, on my way to the masturbatorial hat trick, I hear the little pitter-patter of Molly's paws on the hardwood floor. She comes around. Now, it takes Molly a few moments to get her bearings straight, realize there may be a jerky treat downstairs and a jerk to serve it up to her. So she heads on down. She gets her little jerky treat. I sit down and eat my little poachy eggy treat, and I watch my CNN. And
that's what you should. It's your job.
It's my job. That's the way I look at it. So I saw a story this morning about that CNN, on CNN, I should say, about that Southwest chick. Remember, it was all over the news. I think it was last week. Chick got busted for dress code.
Yeah.
Skirt was a little too short. Blouse was a little too tight. Whatever
they said,
it is.
They said the worst case scenario that I heard about is a very pretty girl. The dress was not inappropriately short at all. It was short, but not inappropriate in any way that I could see. But passengers said that they could see her panties. One of my favorite words in the world, by the way.
Well, the picture of the girl I saw, her skirt did not go much lower than her labia, as far as I could tell when she was standing there.
Well, let me ask you something about that then, because I thought it wasn't enough to make any kind of complaint about. Maybe Teresa would know better. It also didn't seem to be hemmed, so it had a line right here.
Mm-hmm.
And then what she could have done is cut out the hem of the miniskirt and pulled down an extra inch of fabric.
Mm-hmm.
Can you do that? Do you understand what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
No.
It looked weird. The dress looked weird. It looked tattered.
That would have, well, maybe she had done that.
Some of them are sold that way, and also you can just cut the hem right off.
I wear a stonewash skirt when I travel on Southwest.
Yeah, it's more
comfortable. There's a broken in look. But if you got on those jump seats, the ones that faced each other on the 737, I think you could tell whether she was from Brazil or not. Let's just put it that way. It was a very short skirt. And then this morning, another woman came forward, and here's the story, as told by, I think, Chetri is her name, on CNN this morning.
Well, there's another woman, by the way, John, coming forward to say that Southwest Airlines forced her to cover up because they claim her outfit was too revealing. She was taking a flight from Vegas to California, and that's important because the woman says that the flight attendant asked her if she had a sweater she could put on. When she told them no, it was too hot for a sweater, she says she was forced to wrap herself in an airline blanket for the entire flight. Well, the outfit in question, it was a green low-cut halter-style dress. Southwest had no comment. They say they never received a formal complaint, but it was just last week that another woman says Southwest forced her to adjust her outfit before she could board the plane. That was the first offending outfit. The second one covers a little more on the bottom, maybe doesn't cover as much on top, but it's, you know, as we said before, Southwest claims they don't have a dress code, yet this is the second time that that a young lady's been asked to change the dress code to the dark blue toga, the airline blanket.
That's pretty incredible. Everybody's going to be wearing blankets.
Unreal.
I bet. Yeah. I always just leave them fat because I love the retarded banter at the end of the news.
I thought that was the whole reason you played the clip.
Well, it was for the story and for the retarded banter at the end. Forced to put on a blanket. Look, when you fly first class, they give you a blanket. Forced to wear the blanket. Forced to wrap the shawl of shame around her tender shoulders. Please cry me an effing river. They may not have a dress code, but if I show up to work wearing a banana hammock with suspenders attached to it, somebody's going to say something to me, hopefully mostly good.
Yeah.
But there's a no S code. That's what we need back into our society. You know, hey, there's no law in the books, or there's no dress code, or this person's suing for that, or that attorney's doing this and doing that. We just need can we just get back to sort of decency and common sense?
You know what? I have this, or used to have this discussion with my wife quite a bit. And it makes sense. When I've been caught up in the judicial system, it's the biggest waste of time and taxpayer money in the world. And it's slow. But when you start using common sense and then you get into exactly whose common sense shall we use, my wife would take away all our civil liberties that didn't agree with hers.
Well, I would not say that she is common. You know, common sense needs
to be one of these
things where you go, average height is not whose height do you use, it's what the average is of all the people.
Okay.
You, figure out what people think's appropriate. No, Southwest does not want you to wear an ascot and a monogram smoking right. jacket. I have flown Southwest regrettably many times because nothing else gets out of Burbank to Vegas. And by the way, these women are probably strippers. That's the stripper corridor is that, right there. They're going back and forth.
Or hooker. Hookers do fly up. I didn't know this. Hookers strippers fly and to hookers. Vegas for the weekend.
Oh, I fly that flight home from Vegas on a Sunday afternoon. I walk down the aisle to the end. It's like, hey, babe. Oh, hey. Oh, hey. Oh, wait
you.
A minute. I have some of your glitter. Yeah.
I'm sorry, girl. Hey, sorry. Not glitter.
I peel off a 20 and sheepishly hand it to one of the gals. Sorry, it was dark. I didn't know it was a single. Here you go, baby. It's the stripper flight, but look. I've flown Southwest many times, seen the guy who's wearing the Uggs with the gym shorts, and he's freeballing it, and he's got the bad to the bone muscle tee, and I'm staring at his fat ass with the mullet, and I'm thinking, Jesus Christ, I'm offended for now 59 minutes on the way to Vegas.
Right.
You're visually intruding on my space. And just what about the part where you leave the house? Like, I'll go to the mailbox in gym shorts and flip-flops, and I may go by a gallon of milk or put gas in my car. But I'm not going to the Home Depot in flip-flops and gym shorts. I feel vulnerable.
Inappropriate and vulnerable.
I feel like I'd like some pockets and some zippers and something with a button on it. And you know what I'm saying?
I'll tell you this. I have two kinds of shorts. And I always, I tell this to Dominic. I've got indoor shorts and outdoor shorts.
Mm-hmm.
They're two different things.
That's right.
Indoor shorts, you know, are very short. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't wear those out. I got to change into my outdoor shorts.
Well, this is amazing.
You wear sexier shorts inside?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just in front of my boyfriend.
Now with 30% more camel toe.
I have two kinds of drives.
Yeah.
I have two kinds of drives. When I was single before and hanging in Hollywood, I had the drive home.
Yeah.
And what my buddy Scott and I used to call the whore tour.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, I lived in the Hollywood Hills, and you'd take the drunk chick from the Rainbow, and you would drive every single, say you lived 5 miles or 3 miles from the Rainbow.
Yeah.
You'd make it a 15-mile trip of side roads winding around. So the drunk chick could never figure out where she's just been if she's going to show up again and cause you a pain in the ass.
You're disorienting her.
So mm-hmm. One's the drive home, and the second one, the whore tour.
Got it.
Those are the two ways I drive.
You don't want to use the van, the unmarked van and the blindfolds?
One of those, that's a third one, but that one's called kidnapping. They frown upon that one.
My point is, I'm sure this chick is just jumping on the bandwagon thinking she's going to make a couple of ducats by suing Southwest. I like the idea that even though they don't have an official dress code, there's a dress code. And I would like the shame to be brought back to our society. I really do miss that.
Right. She should be brought before the judge, and the judge should say, you dress like a hooker on an airplane, please.
I know.
Right.
Unless you're going somewhere specific, I've got a question about that.
Sure.
Just this specific one, because I can be offended really easily. There was a lady on a beach where it was appropriate to be wearing just a string thong.
Yeah.
And she came up to say something. I thought it was going to be just, hi, I see your show. And I was just going to say, because she was distracting me. I was with my wife. I didn't want to stare at her ass, but it was a great ass. And there was just a string up it. That's all there was. Mm-hmm. And it really made me mad, like that she had the right to suck my attention like that. It was so hot. There was no looking if you're a real guy.
You sound a lot like Pacino, by the way, when you're complimenting.
Great ass!
I'm gonna try it.
And you got your head all the way up it.
Well, you never get to play the end, Brian. Big day.
She had a great ass. How was that?
Great ass.
Yeah, I've said this before. There's a guy who goes up and down my street, an old man. Before I moved, this guy went up and down my Canyon Street. It was probably 3 miles down to the bottom and another 3 miles up to the top. Old guy in his 60s, in good shape for a man of 60-something, but not pleasant to look at with his shirt off. And he did it with his shirt off, come rain, come shine. If it was 95 or 55, he had that shirt off, and I would run into the guy in the little market every once in a while, and I would be staring at his areolas, and I would think, this is awesome. I'm standing in a market. I'm in a public place. I'm fully clothed, and I have to stare at old man areola because he's forced my hand. And there's a lot of, like, well, just don't look. Right.
Yeah. No, that's, right. That's not a fair
right.
one.
The but, guy in the gym shorts in the jumper seat on the 737 whose knees are akimbo and wearing the dolphin shorts is flying a flag full of sack in front of the ace man's eyes, who has, by the way, something that Dr. Drew calls hypervigilance. You don't think I can see your tent full of sack skin? Please.
Is tent full of sack skin next door to Mr. Pfister?
No, it was a band I played in high school.
I knew it sounded familiar.
Here is my question then, because I was offended by the girl in the string bikini, and when she came up to say something to me, I was just going to go, hi, so where do you dance? Just mm-hmm. to be a jerk.
Mm-hmm.
She turned out to be a full, not executive producer, but an executive and a producer at CNN. Mm-hmm. An educated woman, when a stripper or a dancer. That particular girl, I saw that outfit. Do you personally believe that that dress was offensive enough to be taken off an airplane and be, I think, humiliated?
Well, she was. That's another thing. Everyone is humiliated. Well, listen, Heloise or Princess or Your Highness. You're walking around showing a ton of cleavage and a miniskirt that's up over the business end of the vagina there. How easily offended are you? How delicate are your sensibilities? You're getting on an effing airplane dressed as a prostitute. Really? Are you that easily offended? And someone has said, put a blanket over you. You don't think you could discreetly do that in a place that has blankets and other people are using the blankets? This whole, I've been shamed, I was humiliated, it's just another ploy to make money.
Well, I've gotten very comfortable.
By the way, I'll bet you this chick, if I combed through her dossier and I saw all the jobs she got fired from for stealing and all the three ways she's had and so on and so forth, I bet you there are other things that were more humiliating than a stewardess asking her to put a blanket around her shoulders while she took a 45-minute flight.
Okay, removing the humiliation factor then. Jess, I'm wondering, in your opinion, are they right or wrong to point out that dress is not right for this plane?
They get to do whatever they want on their airline. And if you don't like it, then you can pay twice as much and fly another airline to Vegas. That's the way I look at it. I'm tired of lawyers taking the power away from companies who have their companies. If you want to have an airline and you want to have a dress code, that's your effing business. If you want to have an airline and your policy is no blacks, that's your business. Now, hopefully, you'll be shut down by lack of patronage. People won't use your airline and it'll go away. But if you start a business, if it's an airline or a restaurant, I'm leaving it up to you.
Okay.
I would like the free market system to bear this stuff out. I would just like it to find its own level. I think we're evolved enough as a society where if their demands were unreasonable, if they were asking that all women fly in gray mechanic jumpsuits and wear burkas over the top, that they would go out of business.
All right. Well, then. Here's my question then, exactly. Because you know more than most people. When I think Corolla, I go, well, he'll know. Would you have known their dress code before this incident? Do you know Southwest's dress code?
I thought their dress code was flip-flops and cut-off sweats. I thought that was the official uniform of the South of the retards that fly that airline.
It certainly looks that way to me, and you have to be drunk. And by the way, when I go, apparently you have to be aware of all the words to the Partridge Family theme song, which you then break into Brady Bunch and think you're brilliant. But that's just, I didn't know that was part of the uniform,
Let me get back to race for one quick second.
All right.
There is a page that Whitey could take out of the Brothers playbook.
Right.
The brothers, when they're poor, when they're living a little under the poverty line and not bringing in the kind of cash they'd like, will oftentimes overcompensate in dress. That's right. The guy makes $13,000 a year, but he's wearing what looks to be a gold nugget Rolex watch.
Right.
And he's wearing a suit with a, he's wearing a crushed velvet canary yellow suit that he got from Cedric the Entertainer's place.
My name is Tyrone Washington.
And a derby. The point is the brothers will go the other way. When Whitey is poor, oh, you know it.
Yeah.
He's wearing he's wearing the garb of the poor man. The folks that fly Southwest are poor for the most part because when $65 sounds like an unreasonable amount of money to get to Arizona, when $65 sounds like a king's ransom to get to Arizona and back, you're probably poor.
Right.
And thus, dress that way. So all the whiteys that are flying Southwest and that are poor, dress accordingly.
Yes, I will tell you this, because as you know, my stepfather, who, you know, half raised me, was black. We just were dressed like schlubs, but he would iron a crease in his pants, and he grew up very poor. And when they went to the doctor, when they took an airplane, when they took a train, they dressed, you know, it was just a cultural thing.
He was living just enough for the city.
Exactly. No, it's a cultural thing.
It is a cultural thing, and I wish Whitey would jump on it.
So do I.
We should try to clean it up when we get on an airplane, or even, you know, I think doctor's office. Why don't you dress up a little bit?
I agree.
I think theater. Not a movie theater, but a play.
Right.
I sat next to a guy. I've told this before. I sat next to a guy in sweats and tennis shoes. Basically, it was Corolla on any given day.
Right.
Except you're at a radio station.
When you're rich, you can look poor. When you're poor, you should put a little
effort.
He works at a radio station, so I'm not making fun of him. I'm just saying literally the track suit and the tennis shoes. But at a theater where, you know, one of the biggest shows of the year is on, and you're actually on Broadway, not just a theater.
Yeah.
It pretty much irked me so much it ruined my time.
This is a good song. Except my stepdad was from Baltimore.
He's got a Jewy stepdaughter who wasn't very pretty.
I had a couple good years.
It's all right. She blossomed to an angel.
No love and affection, dude. Then she gave him a big old bad erection.
I was going to say black, but
chicken out where you
know,
man. I'll crash a bike and take you like a man, but I won't say that.
I'm looking forward to this next verse.
That's right. Oh, here we go.
His father works some days for 14 hours, and you can bet
I can do it on
anything. He barely makes a dollar.
Yes, please. Where's our black life coach when it comes to poor people looking rich?
I'll tell you what. I'm sure my stepfather Ron is looking down from heaven and really, really enjoying this.
Hold on.
I'm sure my dad's...
Some of them do. The good ones of them.
My dad's looking up and going, God, it's hot here.
I will bet you if you took like Bill Gates.
Yeah.
And you stood him next to your average 45-year-old or 50-year-old or whatever his contemporary age brother is.
Hi, my name is Tyrone Washington.
Tyrone Washington, who makes less than $22,000 a year.
Right.
That guy would have a pocket watch, a silk vest, a derby, and Bill Gates would be wearing cargo shorts and one of those Le Tigre shirts. Not even the Lacoste ones, but the one, maybe the one with the penguin on it.
Well, I did I did that television show where I'm teaching kids about show business.
Yeah.
And I said, here's an interesting lesson because it just happened in front of me. Two people walked in.
Yeah.
And I said to the kids, go buy clothes. If he's wearing a really nice suit and a tie, he probably works for you.
Mm-hmm.
If he looks like he's homeless, he's probably your boss.
Yep. In this day and age. Yeah. Hey, Kathy, but not if he's black. Kathy?
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You have a question or a challenge?
Yeah, well, I wanted to go back to what you were saying about the airlines being allowed to, you know, to have their own policy and do what they want. And I wanted to know how you felt as a new father about nursing your child on an airline.
Well, my kids both have old souls, so I don't look at myself as a new father.
Right.
Yeah.
And he doesn't personally nurse
them. This is a good question. I'm torn on this because sometimes I see a woman breastfeeding and I get a little uncomfortable, but then I hate myself because I think, why shouldn't she be allowed to breastfeed?
Here's my feeling, and here's the distinction I'll make between dressing like a homeless guy and sitting next to me on a Southwest flight versus this.
Feeding your child.
You have a choice. That's what it all boils down to. If somebody woke you up, pulled you out of the bed, and yelled, I bought you a ticket to Phoenix, let's go, and you ran out of your apartment, that's one thing. But you got up 4 hours earlier, got yourself dressed, and still wore the cutoff sweats with the stain in the front.
Right.
So, A, you had a choice. B, as far as breastfeeding goes, I'm not uptight, but some people are. If you can do it discreetly, God bless you. If you don't have a choice, you don't have a choice. But at least there's a necessity component to that.
Right.
To that. Somebody's hungry and it must be done. So it's one of these things. And it, again, you take it case by case. I don't think a woman should sue if she's sitting in the middle of a museum and some guard says, do you think you could go over to this less populated area and do that? I don't think that's a lawsuit. On the other hand, if you're at the park and the kid's crying and you put the blanket up and in such a way where you have where it's discreet and some guy walks over from 100 yards and tells you to knock it off when there's no one around, then I would sue his ass.
You know, it's the people sue really. I felt like a really good man the other day. I don't usually get that feeling. The roof of my apartment while you were gone fell in. And a light fixture that Adam and I guessed was 50 pounds. They put the new one in. I'm thinking it might have been more.
Oh, you weren't here for that.
No.
Yeah. Danny came in with the red badge of courage.
Well, I actually had to leave. Blood ran all the way down my face. And it was like 2 in the morning. And I thought, I can barely find the cut. Because head wounds bleed a lot. So I decided, I'm just going to leave this blood so Carolla can see it and go, what happened to you? So I put my head on a pillow with a towel on it so I won't wreck everything. And I come in and he says, what the hell happened to you? So the place I live, which I really like, and they treat you really well and everything like that. And when something good happens, I'm happy to say the name of their place, but this is a bad story, so I won't.
Right.
So I can't get a hold of anybody, and I get really mad, and they keep insisting I call 911, and I say I don't want to report or anything like that. Just come up and help out with my apartment, because electricity's doing stuff. So they forced me to call 911. There's pictures of me. They made me take all these pictures, and there's blood everywhere. There's the crashed thing.
AdamCarolla.com is where you can see the pictures.
Oh, are the pictures up? So
believe they are.
The next day I go into the management office and I look at the guy and I've got an envelope and I say, you know, I tried to get you on the phone last night, man. I had a little bit of an emergency. I couldn't get a hold of you. Oh, Mr. Bondage, I'm so sorry. Yeah, yeah. I take out one of the pictures that I've printed on my computer and I hand it to him. I go, does that look like a picture of a guy who needs an ambulance? And he says, yes, sir. Does that look like a picture of a guy that needs to go to the doctor right now? He goes, yeah, so it most certainly does. And I go, does that look like a picture of a man who should call a lawyer right away? And he said, yes, yes, Mr. Bogdanovich. I said, well, it's not. I'm not hurt. It's just a lot of blood. This is a matter of character. You should have come to my house and said something. Now, this is the end of it. You're never going to hear from my lawyer. I'm not going to a doctor. I am not injured. And you're not getting sued.
Right.
That's my character.
I wish.
Let me see what yours is.
Hold on a second. I didn't think I would ever utter this phrase, but I wish more of you were like Danny.
I mean, thank you very much, by the way. But I mean, I really gave a speech to the guy about it.
Yeah, no,
everybody sues me.
I, you know, just dignity, common decency, and we need to take a break, but let me just wrap it up by saying this. You know, everyone's so worried about doing their own thing in their own personal space. What about my space? What about the space between my ears? What about my eyes that have to stare at your crappy personal space because you don't personally like the feeling of a cotton t-shirt when you go out on a 30-mile walk, you old man with the huge areolas and the gray pubes coming up from underneath the dolphin shorts? What about my personal space? Yes, let your freak flag fly on your castle, or to be more accurate, your crappy one-bedroom apartment in Van Nuys. But when you get on an airplane, you put on some goddamn cargo shorts and a frilly blouse. For the love of Christ, do your own thing. Express yourself however you want with your friends, at your home. Play the music you want. Play it as loud as you want. But when it starts bleeding over into my neighborhood or your crap starts spilling over into my seat, well, then we have a problem. Yeah. You just get your crap together when you go out in public and then do whatever the F you want when you get back to your crappy domicile. All right, we'll take ourselves a break and have a nice day. Everybody walking around, everyone's wounded, everyone's a victim. Just shut the F up. And why don't you, instead of focusing all day on how you're going to extract money from companies that are successful, how about you get successful? How about you focus on your own life, your own education, your own skills? How about you up your place in the free market instead of figuring out ways to get money from people that have money?
When I said that to the manager.
Spineless pussies.
And it's a scary picture. It's a frightening picture. There's also pictures of the thing that crashed down on my head, broken in half. And when I said the word, this is a matter of character, I said, how far up the food chain are you going to get till no one knows what you're talking about? About a matter of character. that I'm not calling a lawyer, that I'm not calling a doctor, that this is a matter of character. How far up the food ladder are we going to go the food chain until somebody's a character? What's he mean?
Mm.
What do you mean this is a matter of character? Does that mean we don't have to pay?
Yeah.
I want to hear more about this, but we are very late. Coming up?
All right.
Nice. Nice to have you back. Seriously.
Tracy Metro would have never said that. She would have said how much TMC sucked. All right. We need to.
Well, listen, I enjoy her show that she was podcasting.
Bitch. Wow.
All right. We'll take a break.
I kid. You know I love
know. Producer Angie. Who explained to me that she didn't like the taste of air the other day when I saw her trying to blow out.
Some air.
Drunk. I'm drunk.
She has the most discriminating palate I've ever met in my life. We will bring her in and we will play a round of Will Angie Eat It? We'll gamble on what she'll eat. I think we have a tease. I will, you're not going to play it, but I'll put it out there. No, we don't have a tease. This is great radio. Give us one. Mike, do you have one that's on the list? One that we might come up with just through memory.
Bloody Mary.
Bloody Mary.
It's got alcohol.
It's got a precious medicine in it, known as alcohol. On the other hand, it's got tomato juice and all kinds
it
of
tastes like champagne.
Other yuckies. All right, that'll be number one. The Bloody Mary. Get your wallets out, everybody. Right. It's Will Angie Eat It next.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show with Danny Bonaducci and Teresa Strasser. The Ace Man recently found out that producer Angie's diet is a bit more delicate than the rest of us. So it's time for another round of Will Angie Eat It on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, producer Angie, what do you need to know? She does a great job. She goes about it quietly, never stops working, and is quite fetching. As well.
Hey.
My only beef with Angie is just that, beef.
Yeah.
She doesn't like to eat beef. She doesn't like to eat anything. And it finally came to a head a couple of months ago when somebody brought in the Rainier cherries, my new favorite fruit.
I'll never forget that.
I love a Bing cherry, but the Rainier cherry is the one that has some yellow in it, and they're plumper.
I bought them. They were $12.
And they're really expensive, and they're like regular cherries on steroids. And I know it sounds like a term that's effed out, but that's the best one for it. They're bigger, plumper, juicier. They snap when you bite into them.
And they're beautiful. They're a work of art.
And there's nobody, young and old alike, who does not like these, except for I noticed the big bowl was sitting in the middle of the table, and everyone was feverishly eating them, except for producer Angie. But I couldn't believe it. This, after all, this is not calves' liver. This is not fried tofu. This is not broccoli flour.
Right.
This is the sweetest. This is really the closest to candy nature has to offer.
Right, but it's not that easy, Adam, because then Angie will throw you by enjoying hummus.
Yeah, we found that out. I think I am still feeling the sting from being burned by hummus last time we played this. So I said, Angie, eat one of these Rainier cherries.
He made me eat it in front of him.
And I said, eat this. And she said, no. And I said, would you take a look at the door? And I said, what does the studio door say? And she said, well, it says Studio P. And I said,
right.
Touche.
Right.
But it should read Adam Carolla.
Right.
And therefore, you will eat this Rainier cherry.
And she ate it. I fire you and burn down your friggin' house.
And she ate it, and it really reminded me of when OJ was trying the glove on.
Yeah.
It's like, I just can't. And you know, I'll tell you the look she had, because I've seen many of these. She had that look that the chicks who are doing their first porn and don't really want to be there look right at the end. She had kind of that.
When it ends.
Christ, I'm going to kill my boyfriend for forcing me into this. That's the look she had. She didn't spit it out, but she had that look.
I would have read the pony,
very
Daddy.
Very clear look. And I said, please, you don't like Rainier cherries? And she said, no, I do not. And thus was born Will Angie Eat It. Well, do we have an intro, by the way?
Kool-Aid and candy, they both strike her fancy. Twinkies and corn dogs, they both make her happy. Fresh fruits and veggies don't go near her face, 'cause Angie is stuck in the yummy phase.
It's time to play Will Angie Eat It?
All right, I have my 20 out. Danny's money is somewhere on Hauser.
And, I'm glad we have this opportunity. Again, you can keep the money in my wallet. And just return it here to the CBS building.
Oh, boy.
The best thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'd really appreciate that because it's my license and credit cards and stuff.
Now, quickly, Angie will eat lobster, feta cheese, carrots, scallops, meatloaf, smoked almonds, beef stew, and Thin Mint Girl Scout cookies. Although not if they're over a certain temperature.
Yeah.
She will,
or if the Girl Scout's a little too cute.
She will not eat artichokes, Rocky Road ice cream, Smirnoff ice, Dodger dogs, blueberries, clam chowder, cherry pop tarts. There's not even cherries in cherry pop tarts. French toast, Guinness, or chicken pot pie. See, these, the things that bump you is the things that are staples of children's diets.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You give a kid a chicken pot pie or a cherry pop tart or something, or Dodger dog or something, because there's no kid that will not consume that. Well,
if anybody remembers the episode of, with David Spade about that magazine. The guy, the kid that wore the helmet to pretend he was handicapped to get free stuff.
Right.
That's all you would say. Chickabot, 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 bye. It's kids and tards.
Right.
So, let's play some games.
Let's play.
All right. Shall we begin?
Yes. Will Angie eat it? A Bloody Mary.
Well, I've been going over and over this in my mind.
Now, T.
Yeah.
You do a lot of winning in the studio.
Yes, you do.
And you're good. Maybe too good. Some say Bill Belichick good.
Wow. Really? You think I've been stealing signs?
I want you to search your soul if, in fact, Jews have one.
Some
I don't know.
Some
I'm
of
just
us.
Saying if you do.
Happy New Year. Thank you.
Good Yontif.
If you've had a Bloody Mary with Angie at the airport and you're not saying anything about it.
By the way, Angie, it's impossible for Angie to lie. So she would probably fess up.
Okay. All right.
Me, no problem.
Go ahead.
Well, this is a tough one because it does have her medicine in it, the liquor, the sweet liquor. Tomatoes are very divisive. And that's where it's getting me, and it's spicy.
I agree. And there are people that like, oh, I like a tomato in my burger, but I hate ketchup, but I love tomato soup, but I don't like tomato juice. A lot of rules about tomatoes with people.
Tons. But here's the thing about the Bloody Mary. That's kind of a morning fun drink, and Angie's kind of a fun person. I could see her getting up and watching football and having a Bloody Mary, although I know she usually drinks beer. I'm going to say yes, she likes it. She'll eat it.
Okay, you say yes. Yeah. Danny?
I have a caveat. Is it still a Bloody Mary with no celery salt, no celery? Because I think all that stuff would wreck it for her.
It's tomato
vodka
and vodka
and the juice. Then that drink she will drink.
Right. Yeah. Some even have a little of that clam stuff in it.
Yeah.
Clamato.
Like I'd rather have
it's chlamydia.
Spicy.
All right. We'll go. Even if it's marginally modified.
Yeah.
It'll still pass.
Oof.
I'll agree with you guys. We all say yes to the Bloody Mary. The booze trumps the vegetables. What is it, Dawson?
Angie.
Oh, Angie. Sorry.
I will not drink Bloody Mary. Wow.
You know what, T? You made way too convincing a point and went along with you because you always kick my ass.
Well, this proves I don't cheat.
Never again. Or proves that you're cunning, like the rest of your tribe, and you're trying to throw me off.
Well, if you want to borrow some money, I'll lend it to you at usurious interest rates.
Please. All right, let's go on to the next item.
All right, number two. Will Angie eat it? Fried plantains.
That's a banana. Sweet banana.
Yes.
You say yes, Danny?
Nope.
I say no, too. It's, it grows. Although she likes bananas. I say no. Two no's and a yes. Your chance to jump in front, T.
I love bananas, but I hate fried plantains.
Yes.
That's the way to play.
I got
to
come back.
You know what happened.
And you know she can't
lie.
The
banana thing was what threw me.
No, you got your radar scrambled by Harvey Levin.
You think he did this
God,
to me?
He's cute.
He put a spell over you.
Do you have a man crush on
And he scrambled you.
I know. I used to be good.
This was your game. Now 0 for 2. All right. So Danny and I 1 for 2. T 0 for 2. Oh. Anyone's ball game. Here we go.
Number 3.
Clams. Will Angie eat it? Clams.
Clams.
Mm.
Are you looking at me for my answer first?
Mm. All right, here's... the obvious answer is no, because clams are disgusting and almost everyone doesn't like to eat them. But now I'm thinking about how these questions are stacked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I was doing.
Because mm-hmm.
it seems so it's such an obvious no.
There can't be three. She wouldn't eat them in a row.
Plus, it's such an obvious no for her.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And what we know about her, there's no way she would. So it makes me think, yes.
I don't want to punch holes in your theory, but I will say this. And I don't judge, so I'm going to give two options.
Makes me laugh every time you say it.
My staff is either so smart and so cunning that they would throw you off by going three no's in a row.
Wrong!
So stupid and so out of it that they weren't aware that they did three in a row. You pick your poison, but it's a very realistic chance it could be one of those two things.
I can't see her eating a clam, but I can't see it being three in a row. No. What do you say, Adam?
I say no, because Angie, I don't like clams very much, and most of her eating is based around making me angry, I do believe. Anyone's habits, whether it's the music they listen to or the way they dress, I believe they go, what music wouldn't Adam like before they make their selection, and what dress would bump Adam? Angie does that too, and she knows. She knows that eating clams, which is something, one of the foods I don't like, and they're not many, eating clams and not eating my beloved Rainier cherries would make her boss angry, and I believe she's doing it. So I say yes, she will eat clams.
Then I'm going to say yes, she will eat clams.
It's my only chance to pull ahead, so strategically I'm going to have to say...
you're not Jewish, are you?
No.
No.
Okay.
Also, I could possibly see her eating chowder. So I'm going to say she will eat clams.
Interesting. All right.
I will eat clams.
Yeah!
But I won't eat clam chowder.
You eat them right out of the shell?
Yeah.
Ugh.
All right, so I got that one right, right?
Yeah.
All right, so T.
I got that one right.
And me, and now where are we at?
I think it's 2-1.
I'm up. Me and, let's see, T, you know, I'm ahead.
You're ahead.
That's what's going on, and you and Danny are one behind me. That's where we're at. Well, listen to Tate, because I got the first one right and the second two. First one wrong and the second two right.
That's right.
All right. Let's keep pushing on.
All right. Number four, buffalo wings. Will Angie eat it?
Wow. This would be so much easier if we were playing What Won't Cousin Sal Eat? Jimmy's Cousin Sal.
What won't my German shepherd?
Because all you got to do, you just think, what would a billy goat eat? And you'd get it right. Swatch of carpet. Mmm. Would Cousin Sal eat a carpet sample? I think he would, yeah. All right. T, what do you think?
Well, it concerns me that the wings are so bony and you have to gnaw on the bone and the tendon. I can't see her liking that. On the other hand...
She likes to party. She likes to go, she likes to go to the bar. She likes to hang out. Right, right.
What do you say?
Okay. You want me to go first and help you guys out then?
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to say... But I was so confident about 2 seconds ago. I'm going to say she will not.
What do you say?
I'm going no as well. Teach your chance to either fall behind or get into the game.
My only way to get in is to go against you, Adam. So I say she will eat the
buffalo. T says yes. Danny and I both say no. Angie?
I will not eat...
Yes!
Yeah.
Yes!
Nice.
For all the reasons you said, Teresa, the bones and the tendons.
That's why I said no, exactly.
I had no choice. I mean, I had to take a chance.
All right. Now, I do believe Mike, whose only job it is, is to use a Sharpie and write down on a blank piece of paper what the score is, has managed to F that up.
Everybody switched their guesses so many times, they keep going back and forth.
All right.
Listen, these are the high holy days. Let's not blame.
T.
The good news is you're fired.
You want my
try
team?
To, you lost,
I lost.
You were wrong the first one.
I lost and you won.
You got three or two in the wrong department. I'm two ahead.
Yes,
Danny.
Adam, this is radio.
We go on to the last question. Look, if I get this right, I win.
Yeah.
That much I know.
You're only two ahead.
It's Danny. Right. It's Danny and I. Right. I think I'm two ahead of Danny,
one ahead of Danny.
One ahead of Danny.
We're not tied up?
Yeah.
Okay, you want to
coming from the guy who ate a bowl of pot brownies for breakfast.
I thought I was still shaking up from the accident, but I've been eating those brownies.
He wants to know why Tracy Metro dyed her hair.
And why she got so much it's more entertaining.
No, it's funny. Right. She was on Monday. All right.
All right. Ace Man Dukes, this is one for the Italians. Question number five. Will Angie eat it? Cannoli.
Cannoli.
Mm. She is Italian, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but one of the lamest desserts in the world.
Mm. Yeah, it's a waste, unless they're dipped in chocolate.
Same with Napoleon's. They look like they're going to be great, but there's too much hassle.
It's tough, yeah. You better hope Kimmel's not listening, because he's eating one right now on his way to work. I
That's
can't see
not
it.
A cannoli.
He got a he has a cannoli granola bar. It's called a cannoli or granola. Yeah, he had him commissioned. He likes cannolis that much. He said, I love cannolis, but I don't really like the way I look eating a cannoli.
Right.
Let's have the good folks over at Nature Valley fashion me a granola bar that's shaped like a cannoli or whatever they're calling it
with
now.
With the coronator.
Yeah, using the recyclerola.
That's it.
All right.
Well, you guys, I think it's down to you.
Yes.
I'm out, so what do you say?
I'm going yes. Does eat the cannoli.
Well, I got to go the other way then. I'm going to go does not. You went does, correct? I'm going
I go
does
yes.
Not.
And T?
Well, even though I'm out of it, I'm going to say that she would not eat it. You're right. I would not eat a cannoli.
Oh. All right. Now, Danny and I are possibly tied, although it doesn't feel that way to me.
I have no idea because it uses all my mental energy to try and understand Angie's stomach.
Me too. You would not eat a cannoli.
Mm-mm.
Why?
It's just bland. They don't really have any flavor.
Bland? That's your middle name.
No, but see, I was thinking there's weird stuff in the inside.
It's kind of
green.
Yeah.
I don't know what's in there. Plus, you probably don't like it. It's too crunchy on the outside.
And too soft. And, yeah.
Right.
And there's no polite way to eat it. It gets on you. That's all there is to it. Because the hard crust, like a taco,
yeah.
But then the soft inside just crumbles out onto your face.
Okay, but still, all right. Let's do a tiebreaker, although I'm doing it under protest. We
I
have to examine
ahead.
The tape.
No. Yeah.
I think I'm ahead, too.
I think you might
we'll
be.
Examine the tape during the break.
It's just my job to talk, Ace. It's Lynch. I should be keeping the score.
Lynch, what do you need? Like a magnetic chalkboard or something with a picture of the food? And Teresa, couldn't you just use the Sharpie to make an X and an O?
I'm actually drawing pictures.
All right. I should fire you and burn down your friggin' house.
That's
you know
a complicated
what?
Chart.
I know I love all of you. That's all. I missed you, and I love all of you.
All right, T.
What the hell?
You're out of this. Let's do the tiebreaker.
All right. This is for the game. Which of the following pizza toppings will Angie eat?
All right.
Pepperoni or barbecue chicken?
I'm going to go pepperoni because you'll go to hell, baby. You're not in this.
Damn it.
This is a tiebreaker. This is not some sort of loser hoedown where everyone gets a participation trophy. This is the cream of the cream.
Well, it only took me 9 months, but I finally figured out on tiebreakers, I'm done now.
That's right.
He's answered. So I get the other one.
I just have a feeling.
Barbecued chicken. I take pepperoni. Pepperoni only.
No, it's no. Will. Uh-oh. Which of the following will she eat? Pepperoni
only,
or barbecue chicken?
Yes, and add another month to that 9 month. I say pepperoni because that's what a 7-year-old would like.
I strongly disagree.
All right,
even
so
I'm out of it.
If she does like pepperoni, I win. And if she does like barbecue chicken, Danny wins. Angie?
I like pepperoni.
Oh.
So I win.
You win.
Yes.
Yeah, I would have lost that one.
You're going to have to wait for some good Samaritan to return my money.
Thank
but
you.
I will pay you.
There you go.
All right. All right.
There's
she just
my
threw
20.
The 20, which is only one of the many 20s I've fed into your coffers over the months.
You know what? This is interesting, this feeling, losing.
Yes.
Not so familiar with
it. Get used to it, baby. All right. Let's take a break. When we come back... Oh, we have an outro. Sorry.
Will Angie eat it?
All that she eats is crap.
T's got the news coming up. Want to give us a quick tease?
A little fallout from the Britney VMA performance. And also, Rosie's got a new book. Does Trump like it?
Also, I believe Al Roker is going to be blowing a call into the show as well. We'll do that next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Hi, I'm Larry Miller, but in a way, aren't we all? And I'm listening to the Adam Carolla Show just like you, for only one reason, because it's funny.
I'm going to dig that.
We're driving to Florida!
And by the way, that band, Harvey Danger.
That's important to me.
That was playing in the background.
Flagpole Sitta.
Yep. Good song.
Nice.
Came on the show, Loveline, about 10 years ago. They were full of themselves and a-holes, and we've not heard from them since.
Oh, my God. This is a first, because you wished them to the cornfield, and it worked.
I wish them and...
Gwen Stefani.
Yeah. Yep. Who? Because I don't even recognize that name.
There are five levels of drinking.
I put a curse on Gwen Stefani, yeah. And look at her now.
Watch out. You curse me.
Who's next? Yeah, I know people lining up to have their clients cursed in front of my house. Al Roker, who's acting like I cursed his career because he's so successful, is on the phone. Al, good to speak to you.
Well, good morning.
What's up there, Roker?
Well, just, you know, just kind of hanging out, you know, it's a beautiful day here in the East Coast, and looking at Tropical Storm Umberto down in Texas, but other than that, all is good.
Yeah, I've seen the news of everyone, all the reporters who have to bungee cord themselves to street lights so they don't get blown away. I understand what driving rain looks like.
Now, I bet you when Al Roker started, he had to do that kind of story where he was standing in the middle of a hurricane or storm, right?
Leaning on a 45-degree angle.
I just was down in Mexico for... Hurricane Felix.
Well, the old Al Roker had no problem steadying himself in driving winds because he was a big man.
320.
But the new Al Roker is being blown away with Star Jones somewhere into the side of a building. I mean, how much?
I don't. 2 years ago, Hurricane Wilma. I was on YouTube all over the place. I had gotten blown over. You know?
I just don't like the words Al Roker, blown, and Star Jones in the same sentence. I just don't like it.
Decent point.
Thank you.
That doesn't sound right.
How much did you weigh at your most?
330 pounds.
330. How tall are you, Al?
I'm about 5'2". No, I'm 5'. I'm 5'8".
It is hard to tell when guys are fat. You can never figure out how tall they are.
If a girl was that fat, I'm sorry, that sounded terrible. If a girl of your height weighed over 300 pounds, you would look at her really super, almost not like a carnival freak, but that's huge. Al Roker never appeared that big to me. Like, you'd go, how does he get through doors?
You know, it's funny. If you look at the tapes now, like, every now and then we'll run something from, you know, like 6 or 7 years ago, mm-hmm. and my director will be in my ear in the IFB and says, "Who the hell was that guy?"
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've done your show twice and talked to you right up in front. You just, I mean, obviously you're a big man, but you never appeared like you let yourself go completely.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
You're more than welcome.
I was freakishly huge.
And you're 330. What are you now?
I'm at 220 now.
Wow.
So 110 pounds down. And is there more to go, or are you fine where you are now?
My lowest, I actually got down to 200, and I crept back up to 220. I'd like to get, you know, between 200 and 210.
Mm-hmm. And your new show, Heavyweights, on the Food Network, premieres this Saturday, September 15th, 9 p.m. Let's talk about that. How's that work?
We basically look at a couple of competitors in a given field and kind of compare them, and they kind of have some fun folks who can talk about them. It's kind of like the I Love the 80s show on VH1, except it's got food. So the first one is Frozen Foods with Haagen-Dazs, Ben and Jerry's, which, you know, two iconic ice cream makers. Then we do the Cola Wars. Coke and Pepsi.
You know what bumps me a little bit with Coke and Pepsi? I was explaining this to Kimmel the other day while I was on my 15th slice of pizza over at his house for Sunday football that he makes. You'd love Kimmel. He's got a pizza oven in his bedroom. Now, a lot of guys have the big brick oak-fired pizza ovens outside, but he actually has one in. It's actually, he sleeps in it. It's like a tomb.
I have a blow-up roommate.
Count Pizzula, you call him. The point is I said to him, he loves Coke.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mean the drug. I mean the soda. He loves it so much to the point where we went to a taco joint once many years ago, ordered some tacos, ordered some drinks. They came in a styrofoam cup. He took a sip and spit it out all over the table. And I thought, oh my God, there's a cockroach in his whatever. And he said, no, this is Pepsi. This isn't Coke. And he doesn't let Pepsi pass his palate. Now, why? I think I know why, but why can't we overcome this where you go to a restaurant and you go, hey, could you give me a Diet Coke? And they go, is Diet Pepsi okay? And then you go to the next place and you go, give me a Diet Pepsi. And they go, is Diet Coke okay? You don't go to a liquor store and go, give me a pack of Marlboro Lights. And they go, are Camels okay?
No, because I know better.
Just have everything.
Nobody's going to spit out a cigarette, I guess. I don't know.
Well, I mean, why can't a restaurant have Coke and Pepsi?
Oh, that's a big business thing.
I know it's a big business thing, but other businesses don't seem to work that way. If you're 7-Eleven, you just have Coors and Heineken and everything in between, you know?
Right. Well, or you have Coke and Pepsi.
Right. Well, why not Pizza Hut? Or why not? I mean, I know they get to them, and I know they tell them to pledge allegiance to the Coke flag or the Pepsi flag. But as a consumer, wouldn't you like it if you could have Coke or Pepsi? Don't you get tired of that? Is Pepsi okay?
Like, I would like that.
Well, you know, interestingly enough,
we were hitting on something here.
Right.
We are.
What is it?
One of these.
It's not interesting. Hmm?
One of these presidential candidates has gone to this.
Well, can I ask Al Roker a question about, you know, he works at the Food Network. He's now hosting Heavyweights, and here he's lost all this weight. Do you ever think, well, this is like an alcoholic working in a bar? Maybe I shouldn't be surrounded by all this food and always talking about food.
No, you know, I kind of make sure we have the production staff for Heavyweights sequestered in another area. And they cannot come near my office with any kind of goodies.
I see. So that you tell them, do not cross the threshold of my office with treats.
I have laser guided missiles.
Mm-hmm.
You should see the production area. If you ever go into a deli and they've got these things called with the ice cream in it, they call them bunkers.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Got two bunkers, one with Haagen-Dazs and one with Ben and Jerry's. Mm-hmm. We have about six cases of Pringles in here in various flavors that you've never seen because they've sent some of the Pringles from different countries.
Can you tell us about them?
Wow.
There's like the tomato Pringles. There's a spinach Pringles.
I'm not going to say what country the ones that taste like donkey are from because that would be offensive. But I've had them before. They're delightful.
They are.
Al, I was saying, if it wasn't yesterday, it was the day before. It's a weird time we're living in history. We have money, and yet we can't partake. Al Roker is making plenty of money, doing his job.
Yeah.
He passes by a McDonald's, and he can't walk in. He has enough money in his wallet to buy everything that's on the menu 10 times over, and he has to keep walking to the store where he ironically pays more money for something that tastes twice as bad.
Actually, that's not true.
What?
We don't go very often, but I will have a grilled chicken sandwich.
Yeah, but you wanted the Big Mac.
I did.
That's right.
That would be the
and it's cheaper than the grilled chicken sandwich.
The
reason I can back Carolla's point on this is because I'm an alcoholic, and I make a bunch of money, and even the best vodka, in my opinion, Belvedere, you're going to pick up for $32 tops, take a couple of days, so you got a $15 a day habit. Yet you can't afford it.
Well, I
want
right.
and yet cannot have.
Yes.
You cannot have that.
I know we have to go, but I always like to ask, well, pretty much anyone this, but especially foodies, you're on death row, it's your last meal. Al Roker, what do you eat?
I've always wondered about that because do I really feel like eating, you know? I'm about to die. I don't think I really have
It's your last meal.
Play
let's remove.
Play,
yeah.
Play along with
Come on,
you.
Brother.
Come on. Oh, that was me talking. I would say a really good quality grilled prime rib bone-in ribeye steak grilled onions a good fluffy baked potato with plenty of butter
slow down.
And some cream spinach and maybe some frizzled onion ring.
What about dessert?
I would like a good, high-quality couple of scoops of vanilla ice cream and a warm slice of apple pie. Preferably Dutch apple pie.
Said it many times. You can do all you want to try to do better than the heated-up slab of apple pie with the vanilla melting on top. You're just not going to do it. Yeah. All you scientists that are hard at work at the dessert lab right now, drop your test tube, shut off your Bunsen burners. Yes.
Walk away.
Walk away. You aren't going to do better than that.
Walk away.
By the way, all you...
I mean, forget it.
Forget it. And all you kooky restaurants out there with your Bombay ethnic sauce. Desserts. Right. Oh, we got some deep-fried soy lard here that's sprinkled with some jicama sauce. And forget it. Get some apple pie and some ice cream. Walk away. That's what we want.
That's
Al?
Case closed. End of story.
I like your style. We'll be watching Heavyweights on the Food Network.
Thank you, Al.
Nice talking to you again.
Thanks, Al. Take care of yourself. Al Roker, we need to take ourselves a break. And then... the news. T?
Yes.
Re-tease.
I've got some leaked passages from Rosie O'Donnell's new book, and I'll just leave you with this. When she was a child, she had a baseball bat, and she kept it with her, but what did she use it for?
Oh, I got guesses.
And which end did she use? We'll take a quick break. Back with Rosie and her baseball revelations next.
The Adam Carolla Show presents Great Moments in Local News.
Oh, and watch what happens when a girl's love for Brad Pitt goes too far.
That's a great moment in local news. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, time finally for my favorite part of the show, Teresa Strasser in the news.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
Perhaps not surprisingly, Britney Spears' performance at the MTV Video Music Awards on Sunday did not much to spike airplay of her new single, Gimme More. The song debuted yesterday on the Billboard Hot 100 at number 85, but can we just hear a little bit?
Mm-hmm.
I only heard the beginning,
I'm sorry.
Just the beginning.
It's Britney, bitch.
And now, Adam, earlier you described the sound of this as humping a robot. Being too mechanical, too produced. I would hump this robot.
You would.
Call me old-fashioned. I just like to know what instrument is playing in my music.
Yeah.
And I like to know that the person that's singing it sounds like the person that's singing it if they were singing it in my living room. And there's a part of music that's a sort of soulful,
visceral,
stripped-down whatever. Right. And, you know, look... I don't want a pill that tastes like steak. I want something in the shape of a steak that I can cut with a knife. Yeah. And even if it has the same nutrients and even if it tastes the same, I don't want it in a pill or powder form. I want to hump a real dead woman, not a...
Right.
Oh, wait. Ace man. Whoa. I want to have sex with a real... woman, not a robot. Even if you could synthesize her and make it exactly the same, I want to know that she has a soul and a heartbeat.
Wow. Our differences, for a moment, could not have been further apart. We knew that Carolla and Bonaducci just don't have that much in common. We said, if it comes in pill or powder form, I just don't want it. He looked right at me and said that. But I agree with you on one thing. I don't think people should be allowed to go on television and pretend to sing and play instruments. I think there should be a law against it.
I agree.
I think anyone that did it is a criminal against the entertainment business.
Right.
And they should all go to prison.
Or if you're going to get away with lip-syncing an entire concert, I'd like to do a stand-up concert. As a matter of fact, I don't even want to do it. Richard Pryor is going to do one. I'll just get up there and lip-sync every joke he's done. That would be a good gig. Oh. I got to work on that.
Here's somebody who had an interesting take on the whole Britney Spears performance debacle, Simon Cowell.
Well, she stole the show. Whether you liked it or not, she stole the show. Because the only thing you spoke about or heard about the following day was Britney Spears. She looked like she was somewhere else, mentally and physically. She wasn't ready for it. I would have put her in somewhere like Omaha. Rehearse, get her there as quickly as possible, and out.
Stole the show.
Yeah, what a genius. And using his logic, Anna Nicole Smith stole the show by dying.
Well, she did.
I agree with you completely. the first quote I gave when they called me about that was, excellent career move. Swear to God, that was my first quote.
Well, she stole the show because everyone's talking about how fat she is and how crappy she
is. Which, can I just say, is that fat? If that's fat, I'd like to be that fat.
No,
She's fat. She's got 25 pounds on you.
Thank you.
No, I'm not complimenting you. I'm telling you for an absolute fact.
I might cry.
I don't know that she has 25 pounds on you. I know
Adam,
that when you... I was going to say...
Do you want Metro back?
More like
do you want Metro back?
Why, do you know her? Do you think you have her number? Don't tease. No, no, I was going to say it was more like 30 pounds on you.
Thank you.
No, when you get into...
I wish you were dead.
...spangled underpants and they put you on camera, if you're not...
Perfect.
Look, I don't... How many times you guys have to hear this, but the whole reason the waif models are so waify is they look huge. I saw J-Lo walking the catwalk in one of her crappy dresses yesterday because she wears many sombreros, and... She's not a fat woman. She's considered a beautiful, voluptuous woman. She looked fat on the catwalk compared to the four or five skeletons that came in behind her and who, by the way, looked better on camera.
On camera.
That's the way it works. If you're average size and we put you in a bathing suit and we put a camera on you, you look big.
But I'm not talking about, like, is she bigger than you or not bigger than you, or is she fat? Certainly not fat, but if... You went to a decent bar with decent chicks from this area.
Yeah.
She wouldn't be in the top 30% of the women in the room.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's, I think
and
that
you should be in the top
relative
three
to how
if you're
she
be
used,
a superstar.
Yeah, relative to how she used to look, obviously. She's
how old is she?
Right. Jane, if you 26, know. I think.
And we're doing relatively to how she used to look?
No.
Sad, isn't it?
She's a train wreck.
Well,
yeah, it is. It
yeah,
is sad.
Speaking of which, let's talk about Rosie O'Donnell's upcoming book. It's called Celebrity Detox, and some stuff keeps leaking out. The latest is disturbing. So here's what she's saying in her book, allegedly. She used to break her own bones with a baseball bat that she got on bat day at the New York Mets game. Why would she do this? She says, quote, because it was proof I had some value enough to be fixed. Then she would get a cast on her fingers and get attention.
Those bats are, by the way, the size of a number two pencil.
The ones they give you on bat day.
Yeah, it's like trying to break your bone with a fly swatter. And I'm sure they weren't broken bones. Now, she may have inflicted some sort of harm on herself with it, but I assume it's not broken bones.
The weird thing about that is, just vocabulary-wise, is that you only hear about Van Munchen by proxy, where moms hurt
Munchausen
their kids.
Syndrome.
Munchausen.
Yeah.
By proxy. That's all you ever hear about.
Right.
You never hear about Munchausen on its own, where you hurt yourself.
You almost
never hear about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You only hear about moms that hurt their kids.
So they can get attention.
Yeah.
Right.
It's weird to hear it all on its own. What's she have? Munchausen.
Mm-hmm.
Where's the proxy guy? She can't afford one anymore.
Well, apparently Trump has gotten a hold.
But if you said, Rosie O'Donnell, what's her deal? She's Munchausen. What's her girlfriend's name?
Housen?
She's eating Housen?
Yeah. It just seems weird when...
When anything Munchausen. I know. Well, here, yes.
Yes. Look, she's disturbed. Now, knock it off and be funny, would you, bitch?
I think it's too late, Adam.
What's with all the, I'm a mess, I'm a wreck, I'm a this, I'm a that? Look, either you're funny or not. If you're not, get out or shut up. I understand you were abused. I understand bad things happen to you. Bad things happen to most everyone on this planet. Now, we're living in a place that has less bad things happening to less kids than other places, and for that we're lucky. But whatever story you have about you smacking yourself with a wiffle bat pales in comparison to everyone else's stories from around the world
where they cut off your gun hand.
There's genital mutilation involved. They're not writing a book. Right, why don't you tell some jokes or shut up?
As big, fat, lesbian, loud, Rosie.
As one of the funnier gentlemen I know, let me ask you a question. And I also think of myself as witty, and I think of Teresa as witty. Mm-hmm. Ryan, you look good today. Mm-hmm. Can she be funny again? Can she make you laugh again, even if she were funny? Can she ever make you laugh again?
Yeah, sure.
With a regular basis, not just a witty line in the middle of something, but could she stand up and be funny again, or has she just planted that seed that she's basically an evil person? She's a bad guy. She's not nice. Mm-hmm. Could you enjoy a 45-minute set of Rosie O'Donnell no matter what?
The way I feel now, no, but, we have very short memories.
Yeah.
People reinvent themselves all the time. You talk about one of your idols, George Foreman. He went from the scariest man on the planet, the most dour, scariest, huge afroed man on the planet, to everyone's bald black uncle who was gregarious and fun-loving and poked fun at himself. He completely reinvented himself. She could sell a grill and get back into the ring.
I totally agree. Quickly, before I go, I would like to give you Donald Trump's review.
Cool.
Oh, why don't we tease it?
It's worth sticking around.
All right, we're going to come back. We're going to finish up the news. Fred from Portland says, thank God Teresa's back.
Oh, thank you,
the same
Fred.
Thing.
Show wasn't the same.
I agree completely.
Fred?
Yeah.
You didn't like the show when it was funnier?
Oh, man, no. Tracy right. Metro is, oh, I don't even know, man. She's so passive aggressive, it's not even funny.
I know.
It sucks.
You know what?
Yeah,
you I know. Think you're talking about one comment she made a crack about Teresa. I think she was going for a joke.
And she's a liar, too, because remember when her and Teresa were competing for the job?
Yeah.
And her whole thing was about wearing orange and all that?
Mm-hmm.
And then you guys talked about her wearing orange and said, oh, no, I just like to wear a lot of orange. I'm trying to get away from that now.
Yeah.
It was her whole gimmick before.
Yeah. We will talk about that because I believe what she said about Teresa and TMZ was nothing short of an attack.
Yeah, for sure.
And, Tuesday
Noe
morning.
Stick together, Teresa.
Oh, are you from Noe Valley?
Originally.
Well, right. Thank you, Fred.
All right, that's enough. We'll take a quick break. Back with the rest of the news after this.
It's the Adam Carolla Show with Danny Bonaducci and Teresa Strasser. And now, Adam Carolla.
Well, forget about me. What about Teresa Strasser and the rest of the news?
Rosie O'Donnell's upcoming book, Celebrity Detox. Sorry. Parts of it have been leaked out. Here's Trump's review from Greta Van Susteren.
Well, I looked it over, and it's pathetic. It's poorly written. I'm not surprised. You know, I've known Rosie for a long time. She's not a smart person.
She has no class.
The thing that's most surprising is the way she attacks Barbara Walters. Barbara Walters gave her a second life. Her show failed. Her Broadway show failed. Her magazine, as you know, was a total catastrophe. It failed, went out of business. And she was in limbo. She was not a hot person at all. Barbara gave her a certain extra life.
She's a degenerate who is a complete vacuum of class. And Ivanka, what's the opposite of terrific?
She doesn't speak English.
Bod.
Bod.
She is bod. And speaking of bod, oh, have you seen the belly on that bitch? She's not terrific. She possesses no class. She's a classless human being, and she's a degenerate.
Isn't that a Norman Mailer book, In the Belly of That Bitch?
In the Belly of the Beastie Bitch.
Well, I enjoyed when he brought Elizabeth Hasselbeck into this. Because
now, she's got class.
You'd think that that would be his thought, but no.
She's terrific.
Let's take a listen to Elizabeth Hasselbeck being dragged in by Trump.
She had a fight with Elizabeth Hasselbeck, who is, you know, a sad character in her own ways. This is not the brightest light on the planet. And Elizabeth Hasselbeck killed her. She wiped her out. And it was amazing. And I got to see it. I couldn't even believe it. But Elizabeth Hasselbeck easily out-debated Rosie.
Let me clarify what I was saying. I was saying she was a terrific loser.
And a sucking.
And a classy loser who did suck. And by the way, she's not the brightest bulb in the tool shed, if you know what I mean.
Right. She's not the sharpest brick in the cake.
She's,
right.
Yeah, she's not terrific and classy like Ivanka. I marry people exclusively from European nations. It makes people think I have more class.
He's with Melania now.
Malavia.
I thought you told me we're not allowed to say that word anymore.
I'm sorry.
Malabia minor.
No, she's over 18.
Malabia major.
Well, yes, I'd like to read you another passage from her, from Rosie O'Donnell.
She's from outer Malabia. She's classy. All Europeans have class. Have you seen their chandeliers?
Right.
Have you take a look at the chandelier that's in my bathroom?
Wow, it's gold.
That's my guest bathroom.
You ever visited anybody on Mount Olympus over in World Canyon? They all look like Donald Trump's house.
Is that right?
Everything's gold that's not
gaudy.
I use gold leaf pillars to hold up my pillars. And I am a pillar of society. I'm terrific.
And of salt.
I'm classy. And I made my money on my own. The fact that my dad was a real estate magnate has nothing to do with my success in real estate.
I started out a billionaire, but that's a coinky-dinky.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Well, Rosie O'Donnell has things to say about the nature of celebrity.
Sucks.
Maybe Trump can relate.
Let's
hear
it.
She says, allegedly, this in her upcoming book, Celebrity Detox. There is a shift that happens in the head, and that very few celebrities will ever speak about. One begins to believe in the specialness, and a dangerous sense of entitlement takes over. When celebrity addiction starts, you become impatient with and even angry at necessary obstacles. You think you could run a red light or two, and then you do.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's the same thing you have when you're the star of a football team in high school, and then you get off campus, and the cop isn't a fan of your team. you get screwed sometimes. It's the same thing that would happen to everybody. Nobody wants to wait in line. Nobody wants to show two forms of ID. Everyone would love to feel like they'd go, oh, hey, it's Herb. Come on down. Nah, put your ID. Ah, your money's no good here. It's the same thing that everyone would want. It's just it starts happening. The problem is you don't know when the doorman knows you or when he doesn't. And you don't know when the airport security guy knows who you are or doesn't. And even once in a while, it gets confusing because sometimes a cop or security guy will go, hey, man, stop. And you'll go, hey, okay, buddy. And you'll keep walking. And he doesn't know you and he means it.
It can work several different ways. The days of celebrities not going to jail for the same thing you'd go to jail for are over. They're probably going to get 5 extra days, in my opinion. People have had enough of that. But for the security thing, when I used to go on the road with Mario Lopez for the other half, I'd go through, I'd take off my shoes, I'd take off my belt, I'd take off my stupid silver jewelry, go through, and they'd say, that's Dave Baldacci. They'd recognize me just like they did Lopez. They stopped him every 50 feet.
Mexican.
Sexy Mexican.
Take his shirt off.
They'd make him take his shoe. And now, I've seen it a couple different ways. The same guy. I've seen the chick security just want to stall him and talk to him. And I've also seen guy security want to bust his balls a little bit for being having the girl security go so crazy, or probably their girlfriend having him be their first crush. So sometimes that celebrity stuff works against you. They killed Lopez everywhere he went.
Bald Brian has suffered the same indignity when he tries to get through the airport.
Is that true? They always make you take your shirt off?
Yes.
Or your hairpiece?
It's true. They want to see just how white a human can be.
All right, yes. T. It's very good to be back. I really missed all of you. I'm Teresa Strasser. That's the news.
Tomorrow's news. Today, Teresa Strasser. You, CNN.
Back to wrap it up next. All right, let's be fast. I want to thank Eric Stromer, Over Your Head.
Handsome, handsome, handsome.
Tonight, 11 o'clock in The Real McCoy. HGTV, Dana Gould, Melrose Improv, Friday and Saturday. Improv.com is where you go. Al Roker, Heavyweights, Saturday, 9 p.m. on the Food Network. And Teresa Strasser, TMZ, coming on like gangbusters. Also, Bonaducci has lost his wallet. If you have it and you're mad enough,
you can
to
keep
return
the money,
it.
Dude. But I crashed my bike and I'm bleeding all over the place. The least you can do is give me my license back.
That's right.
Thank
well,
you, Adam.
Give us a call, 866-901-ADAM, if you have his wallet. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying, mahalo.
You dress like a hooker on an airplane, please.